with Tobacco and Brew, bringing you this month's Cigar of the Humidor. La Gloria Cubana Classic, a longtime favorite created with Nicaraguan and Dominican fillers and an exquisite Ecuadorian Sumatra wrapper. Along with a medium body profile, this stick offers rich chocolate and leathery notes with a cedary finish, guaranteed to age well. Get yours today at Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
Hi, it's Mark from Haven Humane Society. Are you looking to add to your family? We have puppies, kittens, small critters, and farm animals. Each year, we have thousands of amazing animals looking for homes come into our lives, and we hope to have them join yours. Follow us on social media and find our links on our website at havenhumane.org. Watch our weekly content on YouTube, like our Mark's Monday mashup, when we talk about what's going on and introduce you to our team and adoptable animals. Get involved. Volunteer. Thank you for all your continued support. Together, we are moving closer to our ultimate goal of a North State with no more homeless pets.
Hey, welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. The Ben Shapiro Show is sponsored by ExpressVPN. Privacy is a right, not a privilege. Defend your rights at expressvpn.com/Ben Shapiro. So, Department of Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas on Wednesday waived 26 different federal laws that actually allowed him to build border wall in South Texas. Apparently, among the 26 laws the DHS waived, according to National Review, that includes the Clean Air Act, Safe Drinking Water Act, and Endangered Species Act. The projects will be funded by congressional appropriations package from fiscal year 2019. It's not going to be tons of wall, but it is some wall. It's like 20 miles of wall along the border in Starr County, Texas. That's an area experiencing high illegal entry. The Biden administration has acknowledged that this was necessary. They put forward a statement saying as much, suggesting that this is the way that this was going to go, that basically we need the wall. If we don't have the wall, it's going to be very difficult for us to secure the border. This, of course, creates a major conundrum because Joe Biden suggested during the 2020 race that walls are bad. They are ineffective. They are useless. And in fact, the idea of the Trump wall was incredibly bad, racist, terrible. This is why you had Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez during the Trump administration jetting on down to the southern border to hang around empty parking lots and fake cry into the camera over a fence. This is why you had the entire media shrieking and crying about the idea of Donald Trump building more border wall. This is why just a few weeks ago, you had judges who were stepping in to prevent the governor of Texas, Greg Abbott, from putting buoys in the middle of the Rio Grande to prevent people from illegally attempting to cross that border. Well, now they have flipped. Now they have flipped. Again, it's not all that long ago they were saying all this sort of stuff. As of 2021, Karine Jean-Pierre was saying on behalf of this administration that walls don't work.
He also indicated that, this issue that certain sections of the border wall should be finished. Does the president agree?
Well, as you know, we have said that I have to look at the comments. I have not seen them, so I want to make sure I read it within context. But we have talked about the border wall here in general as a way that it's been used to close the border, and we feel that it is a policy that doesn't work, and it's not just us. Experts have said that the border wall is not an effective policy.
That was the administration just a couple of years ago. So what changed? Well, it turns out millions of people have crossed the southern border under Joe Biden, and they are all going up to northern cities, blue cities, New York, Chicago. And it turns out that people in those blue cities don't like it very much. You've got governors like Kathy Hochul in New York calling out the Biden administration. You have the governor of Illinois, J.B. Pritzker, and the mayor, Brandon Johnson of Chicago, calling for Joe Biden to fix this thing. Here they were just a couple of days ago.
We have to have better coordination with every single level of government, and that includes the state of Texas.
There are other things the federal government can do other than sending us money that they haven't yet done.
In a letter to President Biden asking for more help, Governor Pritzker says the crisis is overwhelming the state and the city's ability to provide aid.
Yeah, well, all of this has driven the Biden administration into some dose of reality, or at least it did briefly. There's a brief moment in time just a couple of days ago when it appeared that the Biden administration might be shocked into reality, maybe need to stop the overwhelming flow of illegal immigrants at the border. Mayorkas said in an official filing in the Federal Register, this is just a couple of days ago, quote, "There is presently an acute and immediate need to construct physical barriers and roads in the vicinity of the border of the United States in order to prevent unlawful entries into the United States in the project areas. In order to ensure the expeditious construction of the barriers and roads in the project areas, I have determined that it is necessary to exercise the authority vested in me by Section 102C of the IIR IRA. Okay, so he waived regulations in order to make this sort of thing happen. But then, wokeness snapped back into place like a mousetrap. There was no way the Biden administration was going to be able to flip this dramatically after claiming that Donald Trump was an evil human rights violator for attempting to build border wall. And so yesterday, Joe Biden, the defunct president of the United States, suggested that actually the border wall won't work, which raises the question as to why then they are building it. But he says, guys, it's still not going to work. I didn't change my mind. It's still not going to work. We're just building it because we have to build it, which is weird since you had to waive 26 regulations in order to build it. Here was Joe Biden yesterday.
Do you believe the border wall works?
No.
So then why are you doing it? The answer is that he's doing it because he also knows that the consequences of not doing it are really bad politically, but he still has to please his left-wing base. He has created a situation in which he is caught between a rock and a hard place. This is a catch-22 for him. In the same way the crime policy is a catch-22. If crime goes out of control, it looks really bad for his administration. If he adds more cops to the streets, it also looks really bad for his administration. Left-wing policy is a failure. When you pursue it to its logical conclusion, which is an open border in this particular case, people don't like it very much. And then you have to backtrack. And then people yell at you for backtracking. And this is what Joe Biden doesn't want. So what exactly is Joe Biden's excuse for having spent the money to, you know, actually build wall? He says the money was appropriated, so he has to spend it. Which, again, is weird from a president of the United States who has unilaterally declared himself the ability to relieve student loan debt to the tune of hundreds of billions of dollars, for example. But when it comes to money allocated for border wall funding, suddenly, like right now, he discovered that he actually has to spend money that was appropriated in 2019. Strange.
Border wall, the money was appropriated for the border wall. I tried to get them to reappropriate, to redirect that money. They didn't. They wouldn't. And in the meantime, there's nothing under the law other than they have to use the money for what was appropriated. I can't stop that.
Well, I mean, you could. Theoretically, you could say, we couldn't waive the regulations. Sorry. Right? That'd be the easy way to do it. They literally had to waive regulations in order to make this happen. So they could have made the case. Secretary Mayorkas easily could have made the case. Guys, I want to spend the money, but the regulations prevent me from spending the money because obviously I'd be in violation of law if I did spend the money. He's not doing that. He's building the wall. So they want to have it both ways again. They want to build the wall, claim the wall does nothing. So they can simultaneously claim they're doing something to stop the border flow and also claim to all of their left-wing buddies that actually they still agree with themselves when they took the moronic position that walls do nothing, which of course is silly. Of course walls do something. You wouldn't have a giant fence around the White House if walls did nothing. And it's an argument that's beneath contempt that walls do nothing. Of course walls do something. They have for all of human history. So stupid. We're going to get to more of this in just one second. First, I wanted to let you know, if you really enjoy The Ben Shapiro Show and The Daily Wire, we have a bunch of other shows over at DailyWire.com. Let Michael Knowles tell you about his show.
Hey, Michael Knowles here. As you might expect, I am the host of The Michael Knowles Show. Conservative pessimists say the world can't get any worse. Conservative optimists say it certainly can. Luckily, there is hope and a whole lot of fun to be had at the left's expense. Come check out The Michael Knowles Show at The Daily Wire. You can listen to the show for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, YouTube, or Facebook. It is all over the place. You can watch the full show ad-free on DailyWire.com. And don't miss exclusive videos we make on my YouTube channel, such as my woke commercial reviews and the Chaz Funniest Home Videos. We break down everything from Drag Queen Story Hour to the Paris Climate Agreement. So come on over and check out The Michael Knowles Show wherever you get your podcasts. Every Monday through Friday. See you there.
You know, I pretend that I really hate Michael, but it really, it's not hatred. It's more just a strong and intense dislike. You heard it here first, gang. Make sure to check out The Michael Knowles Show. Okay, so Alejandro Mayorkas was then caught off guard by the fact that his own administration had undercut him. So originally he said, we need the wall because, you know, we have a big problem on the border. Then, because Joe Biden decided that he was going to maintain the position that they don't need the wall and walls are bad, he had to walk it back. So here was Mayorkas yesterday walking it back.
From day one, this administration has made clear that a border wall is not the answer. That remains our position, and our position has never wavered. The language in the Federal Register notice is being taken out of context, and it does not signify any change in policy whatsoever.
Oh, it's missing context, is it? You know, the part where you explicitly said that there's an immediate need to build border wall? This follows hard on Mayorkas claiming that it wasn't actually border wall. It was actually just construction along the border. What were they building, like a castle? What, a miniature golf course? Like what exactly is it? What would you call the thing that you are building that is a wall? It's all idiot. And they're assuming you're morons. Corinne Jean-Pierre, again, wildly untalented press secretary. So she was asked, you know, why is it that you want to break U.S. law in order to put up the wall and then claim that the wall doesn't do anything? And she has no answer for this, obviously, because there is no answer, because it's really dumb.
A wall constructed in my administration. So something changed. What?
You want us to break the law. Is that what you want? You want us to not comply with the law.
You want us to not comply with the law.
You want us to not be in administrations that follow the rule of law.
You guys do this all the time. The student loan forgiveness program, you went to court to fight for that. If this is such a problem, building 20 miles of wall, why not just go to court?
We went to Congress. The Congress appropriates the funding.
Why not
Congress,
fight them more?
Congress appropriates the funding. We asked them to not use that funding for that particular purpose. They denied it. And now we're complying with the law.
If you have to build a border wall, but you don't think that it's going to work, then once it's done, are you just going to tear it down?
I'm not getting into hypotheticals from here. I'm just telling you what I can tell you from here. The facts are that DHS is complying with the law. This is from fiscal year. This was under fiscal year 2019 under Republican leadership, and DHS is required to do this. The president asked multiple times of Congress to reappropriate. They did not, and we're not complying by the law. Thanks, everybody.
So much legal compliance from this administration. I mean, if there's one thing we know about this administration, they love complying with the separation of powers in which Congress passes a law and the president signs it and the president abides by that legislation. That is something this administration absolutely adores. They would never do anything unilaterally, like say, I don't know, tell OSHA to cram down a vax mandate on 80 million Americans. They would never do anything like that. After all, the power of the legislature controls what OSHA can and cannot do. And that's not in the enabling legislation, so obviously they would follow the law. I mean, they would never try to twist the law to relieve hundreds of billions of dollars of student loan debt. Just get rid of it. I mean, they would follow the law, clearly. And just like they are right here, there's an appropriation to build a wall, and so they're just following the law by building the wall. Even if they think it's useless, because that's just what sticklers these people are for the law. Or they're completely full of crap. They're completely full of crap. We all know that they're full of crap. But this is the problem. When you take positions that are counter logic and decency, and then the effects of those policies come to fruition, you have to somehow mitigate against your own policies. The reason this is happening is very obvious. You've got people in New York, and people in Chicago, and people in California, and people all over the left wing, the big cities, big blue cities, who are complaining about Joe Biden's illegal immigration problem. And there is a reason, by the way, that Joe Biden is doing this, and that is because his poll numbers absolutely stink. His poll numbers on immigration are they're not just underwater, they're wildly underwater. I mean, insanely underwater. Joe Biden's approval numbers on immigration are like 20%. He has to do something. But at the same time, he doesn't want to tick off that left-wing base. And what's amazing to me is that he is so attached to that left-wing base. Why? Are they going to go vote for Donald Trump? Obviously not. Are they going to stay home if Trump is on the ballot? Obviously not. But he feels the necessity, he really does, to cater to that activist base. And who is that activist base? It's not black people in America's major cities who are overwhelmingly in favor of less illegal migration. It's not even Latinos in America who are overwhelmingly in favor of less illegal migration. It is woke white liberals living in upper class suburbs who never have to deal with the consequences. And the minute you ship them to Martha's Vineyards, then all of a sudden they're starting to freak out and complain. But until then, they're very happy to put up their lawn signs, their virtue signaling lawn signs. The Democratic Party policy is a disaster area. And Republicans could point that out if they weren't in the middle of a speakership battle, which they declared on themselves. Because that is definitely the best way to fight a war, is if you're in the middle of a battle, a political battle with the other side, the best thing to do is immediately go into an internecine war with your own side. We'll get to more on this in just one second. First.
Hey, everyone. This is Daily Wire Editor-in-Chief John Bickley with Georgia Howe.
We co-host Morning Wire, the daily news podcast created to bring more balance to the national conversation.
We give you the news you need to know in 15 minutes or less without the mainstream spin.
Join us and get the facts first with a new episode every morning.
Listen now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Daily Wire Plus, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Alrighty, folks, Republicans are declaring war on themselves with this speakership battle. We'll bring you the latest. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
At Premier Oil Change, you can be assured that our highly trained staff will take great care of you and your vehicle. From your air pressure to your windshield wipers and everything in between, we make it easy for you with our quick, convenient drive-through service. No appointment necessary, you just drive right in. We also perform our comprehensive 30-point certified service. You get to enjoy a free beverage with free Wi-Fi and earn points towards free products and services with Premier Rewards. Use Premier Services to maintain your new car warranty. Energy. Now that is a win-win. Drive in today. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com or visit us in Palo Cedro, located in the Holiday Market Shopping Center, or in Redding on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park, or in Anderson across from Roundtable Pizza. All three locations, you get a free car wash with every oil change. Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier, your friendly oil change.
At Cornerstone Community Bank, you're more than just a customer. You're our friends, neighbors, the local businesses where we shop, and the restaurants where we dine. Your success strengthens our community. Come meet our amazing teams in Redding, Red Bluff, and our newest location in Anderson. And find out why we are more than banking. Cornerstone Community Bank. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
Imagine 36 hours of football, fireworks, soccer, volleyball, baseball, basketball, barbecue, bounce houses, a charity 5K, and a world-renowned illusionist. It's not a trick. It's Simpson University's homecoming weekend. But the real key to making this weekend great, that's you. Join us and all your closest friends October 20th through the 22nd for Simpson University's homecoming weekend. Check it out at simpsonu.edu/homecoming. That's SimpsonU.edu. homecoming.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
233-33.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So Republicans have declared war on themselves in the middle of Democrats making a mistake. Rule number one in politics, do not intervene when your opponents are making a mistake. Republicans didn't read that rule. Well, Democrats are declaring war on themselves over whether to build a border wall or not. The Republicans are declaring war on themselves with regard to this speakership battle. And a fascinating new twist to the speakership battle. Apparently, the Republicans are now going to hold a speakership debate, apparently televised, which, okay. All right. Here's my objection to this. My only objection, I'm all for transparency, but who Republicans elect in a closed caucus to lead their caucus really should not be a matter of public scrutiny nearly as much as, you know, you voting for your local congressperson. The reason I say this is because how the sausage gets made is very different than how people tell you the sausage gets made on talk radio. And on talk radio, look, what I do for a living, I'm going to give you the purest, most conservative perspective because that's what I get to do. I mean, I'm lucky. I don't have to make the sausage. But behind the closed doors, obviously there's wheeling and dealing. Trades get made. But the problem is that incentive structure is completely skewed. You can't actually get the deal done. You can't elect a speaker unless there are some deals that are getting made behind closed doors. And this is, for example, is one of the problems with the Republican fight against earmarks. So for years and years and years, Republicans have said, quite correctly, on principle, earmarks are really bad. They are. They're really bad. Earmarks are the system whereby there's a bill, it's coming through, and I attach a rider for my district. And I say, I'm only going to vote in favor of this bill if you build the Ben Shapiro post office in my district. And it's really bad, because if everybody does that, you end up spending a lot of money. The problem is, if nobody does that, you don't pass any bills, and you end up with a giant omnibus package that only gets support because it's a giant crap sandwich anyway. Usually a larger crap sandwich than would have been attained with a few simple earmarks. So, again, the sausage-making process is really ugly. Televising all of that, and that's a great way of prolonging the speaker chaos, I suppose, because you're going to end up with a segment that is very pro-Jim Jordan. You're going to end up with a segment that is very pro-Kevin Hearn, for example. You know, this is what's going to happen. Because it's not as though any one of these candidates is completely dominant. So the three big candidates who have been mentioned at this point are Steve Scalise, Jim Jordan, and Republican Study Committee Chair Kevin Hearn of Oklahoma. Apparently, according to Punchbowl News, Fox News' Brett Baer is going to host a closed debate and discussion between the GOP candidates for Speaker on Monday night, according to a source involved with the planning. And then later, it came out, apparently, that they're going to televise that, which, I mean, it's going to be very... If you are running for Speaker of the House, now you're basically kind of running for president, right? Not formally, but you're getting in front of the American people and the Republican base and showing who has most fealty to conservative principles. The problem is that you can show that fealty, but the system constrains you from actually achieving those goals. You make the biggest promise. You can promise everything to everybody. 2 minutes from now, everybody's going to be real disappointed when we hit the end of the continuing resolution and somebody cuts a deal, which is exactly what's going to happen, as we all know. Anyway, Republicans are going to host that candidate forum Tuesday night and the closed party election on Wednesday. There is no timeline for electing a speaker on the House floor. This thing is probably going to continue for a number of days. Donald Trump, for his part, after originally recommending Kevin McCarthy for the post, McCarthy was very pro-Trump, and then doing nothing to stop Kevin McCarthy from falling. Donald Trump then apparently started sharing posts on Truth Social, pitching himself as the speaker and calling Kevin McCarthy a traitor, which is, as always, no one is more loyal than President. The most loyal. So in any case, Donald Trump is now endorsing Jim Jordan for speaker, which is fine. I really like Jim Jordan. I think he's terrific. The head of the House Oversight Committee. Again, I don't know why anyone wants this job. It's a terrible job, but Jim Jordan is an excellent candidate. He's one of the founders of the House Freedom Caucus. He's extremely conservative across the board. And as far as Trump goes, he's a big Trump backer. Now, the problem is, of course, we're also in the middle of an open primary inside the Republican Party. While Trump is way in front in that primary, he still represents about half of the Republican Party, and the other half of the Republican Party is split among a myriad of candidates. So Trump's endorsement is not sure to guarantee that somehow Jordan becomes the guy, especially because there's a whole wing of moderates in the party who may not be in love with Jim Jordan. Kevin McCarthy, people ripped him for not having centralizing principles. And to a certain extent, there's some truth to that, because he's a consummate politician. And you kind of have to be. In order to be Speaker of the House and broker some sort of agreement between all these disparate groups, you can't really be a guy who has sort of hard and fast principles unless you're going to be a dictator like Newt Gingrich was very early on when he was Speaker of the House. And then he ended up being defenestrated anyway after a certain point. Being an idealist and being Speaker of the House are usually not things that go together. This is why Mitch McConnell is a very effective Senate majority leader, but not the most ideological politician. Usually these two things are in conflict. If you want to be particularly effective as a legislature, as a legislator, usually that means not being a purist. In any case, Jim Jordan is more of a purist than a lot of people in moderate districts in New York, maybe, who might not love Jim Jordan. Steve Scalise is considered, again, sort of the party favorite in the sense that he's not coming in from the outside. He was a second in command to Kevin McCarthy. There are health concerns about Steve Scalise. There's now been some talk, believe it or not, about Patrick McHenry, possibly. Not because Patrick McHenry actually has a lot of backing, but because he's the Speaker pro tem, so he's sort of just sitting there already. In order for any sort of speakership vote to happen, the big thing that's going to have to happen is they're going to have to change the motion to vacate rule. The motion to vacate rule, which is a concession made by Kevin McCarthy to the Matt Gaetz wing of the party, was that he would allow anyone, like a single person, to bring a motion to vacate the chair if they didn't like what he was doing. And that basically set the stage for him being ousted at any point, because he has a very, very narrow House majority. All it took was basically five Republicans voting against him, and he would lose his speakership even if the other 97% of the caucus was in favor of Kevin McCarthy. And in fact, that's what happened. So in order for any new speaker to be elected and then have any power at all, that motion to vacate is going to have to be changed. And according to Punchbowl, that's exactly what's happening. 45 House Republicans, including several power players, have written a letter to the conference effectively demanding changes to the motion to vacate rule that cost McCarthy his job. A few members who signed this letter said they're not willing to endorse anybody for speaker until the motion to vacate is overhauled. Those names include Representative Stephanie Bice of Oklahoma, Dusty Johnson of South Dakota, Representative Brian Fitzpatrick of Pennsylvania, Garrett Graves of Louisiana, Foreign Affairs Committee Chair Mike McCall of Texas, and Ways and Means Committee Chair Jason Smith of Missouri. Again, that's a big faction. That's 45 people. There's even some talk that McCarthy might get a second go-round here, although I think that that is very unlikely at this point. Meanwhile, the question is whether any of these people are going to be able to raise a lot of money. Steve Scalise has. He's raised about $170 million to support various Republicans over the last decade. Scalise raised more in the last cycle, $53 million, than Jordan raised over the last decade, $38 million. So that's going to be a major concern. Again, being Speaker of the House is not the same as being most ideologically pure. Usually it's the guy who can cut deals and get people elected. But this is a pretty significant mess. Already coming up, no matter who is the speaker in the Republican caucus, they're going to need some sort of authority over their membership, obviously. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Hey, what's going on, Redding, California? This is Tony Horde with Better Homes and Gardens Results Real Estate. Be sure and tune in to KCNR on your radio dial Wednesdays at 5 p.m. for Living in the North State. Together with my three amazing co-hosts, Rich Howe, Bill Woodford, and Mindy Cochran, we'll be interviewing professionals in the industry and taking your calls to answer all your questions and have a great time doing so. Talk to you then, Redding.
Hi, Bob the Drop here. The other day I had a close encounter with my friends from Mars. I visited them a few years back and they discovered the great taste of Mount Shasta spring water. Well, I guess they ran out, so they came back to Earth to get some more. I reminded them it comes from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta and it's bottled at the source. I guess they just didn't get the part about us delivering right to your door. Have your own close encounter by calling 1-800-922-6227 to get some of the best tasting water in the galaxy. Pure and simple, naturally, the best Mount Shasta spring water.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
It's never too late to start at Shasta College. Late start classes and 8-week compressed classes are still available. To learn more about upskilling or reskilling for a current job or career, information is online at shastacollege.edu or call one of our counselors to see how easy it is to get enrolled at 530-242-7650. Shasta College offers in-person, hybrid, and online class options to fit your busy life and responsibilities. Financial aid is available. More at shastacollege.edu.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
American Ironworks, specializing in custom fabrication from designer gates, decorative railings, handmade furnishings to giant works of art. With over 20 years of experience in Northern California, American Ironworks provides the highest quality of craftsmanship for your home or commercial space. American Ironworks also offers hand-sketched and 3D graphic designs to help bring your concept to reality. Visit our website and social media at American Ironworks or call 530-949-0710, 530-949-0710.
Hi, it's Mark from Haven Humane Society. Are you looking to add to your family? We have puppies, kittens, small critters, and farm animals. Each year, we have thousands of amazing animals looking for homes come into our lives, and we hope to have them join yours. Follow us on social media and find our links on our website at havenhumane.org. Watch our weekly content on YouTube, like our Mark's Monday Mashup, when we talk about what's going on and introduce you to our team and adoptable animals. Get involved. Volunteer. Thank you for all your continued support. Together, we are moving closer to our ultimate goal of a North State with no more homeless pets.
Women Vets.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So no matter who Republicans appoint speaker, they're going to need somebody who actually has authority over the membership. As we've been saying, in order for any speaker to be able to run the House, he's going to have some level of authority over the members of his own caucus, is what Representative Johnson was saying, Dusty Johnson of South Dakota. He's saying, you know, we got a bunch of foundational problems here, and if we don't fix those before a new speaker is named, they're just going to continue.
Let me just lay it out there. Cut to the chase. Who are you with in the speaker battle?
Oh, I'm not with anybody yet. I think that we've got a lot of questions we need these candidates to answer. In part because if we don't change the foundational problems within our conference, it's just going to be the same stupid clown car with a different driver.
I mean, and that is correct. If these rules happen to not grant the speaker enough power to actually keep his caucus in line, they're not getting anything done. Obviously, there have to be consequences for stepping out of line. It's very funny to me. A lot of people are very happy about Kevin McCarthy getting ousted. Are a lot of the same people who are very upset at rogues like John McCain in the United States Senate. I agree with them about John McCain, but the whole point is you can't actually pass anything unless you keep your majority in line. And so if you remove all the consequences that are available to keep people in line, they will not stay in line. You'll have a collective action problem. Representative Max Miller, Republican of Ohio, he says, listen, if we keep fighting each other here, I'm not hopeful we're even going to be able to keep the majority.
I'm going to stand here and tell you by the actions that have taken place this week, I'm not hopeful to keep the majority. I'm not hopeful to win back the Senate. You know, I spoke to President Trump three times yesterday, and I explained to him that there could be a coalition government that would happen. And throughout that process, you know what we would lose in the House of Representatives?
What did Trump say when you told him all this stuff?
He's incredibly upset. This is where I love to get to my point, Manu, about Matt Gaetz using the MAGA cloak to go ahead and to post content on Twitter with no context to make it seem as if he has President Trump's support. And he paints it in the most broad strokes possible. That's why he's so good at what he does, is because he's a BS artist.
Okay, so Matt Gaetz is trying to fight back against that perception by doing something that I will say is clever. So he is saying, okay, I'm going to negotiate on the motion to vacate. He says, my GOP colleagues want to raise the threshold on the motion to vacate. Here's a question for them. If we enact the reforms laid out by Representative Ro Khanna, who's a Democrat from California, nice guy, I've interviewed Ro before, how high would you like the MTV threshold to be? I'll basically give you whatever you want for this stuff. What exactly is that stuff? A ban on congressional stock trading, which makes sense to me. Put everything into a blind trust. Make some sort of consequence. You can't involve yourself in it. 12-year term limit for Congress and a ban on political donations from lobbyists or PACs. Now, we know that this is going nowhere. Okay, like those last two things are going nowhere. And the reason those are going nowhere is because there are a bunch of people sitting in Congress right now who are beyond the 12-year term limit. You're going to open up a bunch of safe districts for Republicans to challenge. So there's that. As far as the ban on political donations from lobbyists or PACs, I'm just wondering, if Republicans enact that and Democrats do not, how is that going to work out? So he's saying he's going to change the motion to vacate rules. If there's a ban on political donations from lobbyists or PACs, for whom? For just Republicans? Because that seems like shooting yourself directly in the face. Again, I'm perfectly willing to hear Matt Gaetz' list of demands, but if the idea is that all lobbyists and PAC donations go away, by the way, all a PAC donation is, that is like a group of people who get together and they put together a political action committee and then they spend money on behalf of a candidate. If Republicans take that off the table and then they let Democrats do it, how exactly is that advantageous for Republicans attempting to win? I just like lobbyists enough as much as the next guy, but the notion that Democrats are going to continue doing this and Republicans are going to stop doing this, it puts you at an inherent disadvantage electorally. Like, are Democrats going to vote to do this overall? And how exactly would that tie into Republican attempts to get a speaker to push that? Like, what Matt Gaetz has already shown is that Republicans can push stuff, and if Democrats don't go along with it, Matt Gaetz blames the Republicans anyway. He did this with regards to border security. He literally got up the other day and he's like, you guys say that you passed a harsh border security regime? Well, I didn't see that become law. Right, because there's a Democratic Senate and a Democratic president. And both those people, both those institutions continue to maintain that walls don't do things. So I don't understand. So if Matt Gaetz wants to put forward a list of actual achievable things that don't actively damage the Republican Party's ability to beat Democrats, I'm happy to hear it. I said this before with Chip Roy was doing this against Kevin McCarthy, which he did earlier in the year, and then he named a bunch of concessions. I'm all in favor of that. That's fine. But if these concessions are non-doable concessions that Democrats take advantage of, I'm not sure how that exactly is a big win and how it's not exactly posturing. Again, all of this puts whoever is running for speaker in a pretty major jam here. Because, for example, Jim Jordan, he has come forward and he says, we're not going to go to a vote without 218, right? We're going to need 218 in order to go forward with a vote. We're not even going to have a vote on the speaker until we've already decided behind closed doors who's the speaker.
It has to happen. We shouldn't go to the House floor until we have 218 votes for the Speaker of the United States House of Representatives. We shouldn't have to go through what we did back in January. I'm all for that. I think I can bring our team together to accomplish that. And more importantly, once we get that done, to do the work that needs to be done on the border, on crime, on inflation, on all these issues we have to address. I think I can do that. That's why I decided to run.
I mean, under what conditions is the big question. Under what conditions? What actually gets hammered out here is going to define whether the ouster of McCarthy was good or bad. And it seems like there was no plan in ousting McCarthy. So maybe it ends up okay anyway. Everybody scrambles and they end up coming with some sort of agreement. If that's the case, then credit to Gates. But if it doesn't end up that way, if it's just sheer chaos, or if we end up back in the same situation with an incredibly weak speaker unable to keep his own people in line, then Democrats are going to win. Because again, if you look as though you're running a clown car, people will vote for Democrats even if their policies are absolute sheer garbage. The one good piece of news here is that Donald Trump, who was speculating just a few moments ago about possibly running for speaker himself, at least he has stopped that nonsense. That was dumb. I'm not even sure why people were considering that. There's an active House rule right now on the Republican side that if you're under an active indictment, you can't be House Speaker. And Trump's under multiple active indictments right now. They would have had changed the rule, been super awkward. I don't know who thought that Trump had the skill set to be Speaker of the House anyway. It would have been very strange. But at least that's off the table when Trump endorses Jordan. So good for Trump for endorsing somebody. At this point, one of the ways you can tell that Jordan is a good candidate is how much the left hates him. Sunny Hostin of The View, she says that Jim Jordan is a terrorist, literally a terrorist. Why? Is he strapping dynamite to himself? No, he was mean to her one time.
I will just say about Jim Jordan, you know, he has been called by his own party, by John Boehner, a political terrorist. He's also been linked to the Ohio State sexual abuse scandal. I testified in front of Congress about something so simple, cameras in courtrooms. He came in late, he looked disheveled, and he immediately was screaming and yelling and terrorized me and the other experts on the panel. And describing him as a terrorist is exactly that. He's a chaos agent, and it came out of nowhere, and he had no command of the subject that we were talking about, which made it even scarier. So to have him, the thought of him being the Speaker of the House, I think leads to more chaos.
But his role model is Donald Trump, who has no command of the language either.
Okay, Joy Behar ripping people for lack of command of the English language. And it's like watching a dog try to explain to a human, you know, how language ought to work. You're mostly just amazed that the dog can speak English at this point. Like Joy Behar ripping people for command of the English language. Good stuff right there. Again, that is the single best case for Jim Jordan I've heard. Now, here is the awkward thing. Okay, here's the awkward thing. Whatever deal gets cut, the Republican Party is going to have to now actually reestablish itself as a party. We've spent the last 15 years in the Republican Party ripping power away from the people at the top of the Republican Party. That has come with a couple of benefits and some pretty significant costs. The benefits are that the Republican Party has gotten more right wing, or at least it did briefly when it came to, for example, spending. The Tea Party movement, which I thought was terrific, I was a part of it, called on Congress to actually push back on spending. The problem is that when you take away the leadership of the institutions and you simply destroy them, and you say that pretty much you create a roiling, boiling pot inside, for example, the Republican Party. And the Republican Party infrastructure has no power to actually dictate. Well, at that point, what you end up with is endless chaos. You know, it's so funny. Republicans will look at Nancy Pelosi, on the one hand, with deep and abiding hatred for her policies. And on the other hand, with a bit of admiration for the fact that she's kept her caucus together. I mean, we say this all the time. Nancy Pelosi is obviously good at her job. She had a fractious caucus. She kept it together. How? Because she crammed down on them. She said, listen, I'm not going to give you money. I'm going to find people to primary you. I'm going to threaten your committee memberships. I'm going to run this place like a dictatorship. This is not a democracy. This is not a group of people getting together late night at the club and figuring things out with comedy. This is me running the place. And so you can't have it both ways. Either you want to fight Nancy Pelosi, which requires a national consolidation of power around institutions with leadership, or you want to argue amongst yourselves in the name of principle and then lose to people like Nancy Pelosi. Which is why there are going to have to be some sort of tools that are put in the hands of the House leadership that are going to allow punishment for the members. Now, right now, I understand everybody's running for speaker. And so at the moment, it's going to be all of them basically appealing to the better angels of nature, right? So you have Jim Jordan, for example, defending Matt Gaetz from the calls for expulsion. There have been some members of the Republican caucus who have said that what he did here is ridiculous. They should expel him from the caucus. I don't think you expel him from the caucus when you have a 4-seat majority, but the basic notion here that going forward, the leadership will not have the tools to punish people, how exactly are you going to operate it then? How exactly are you going to operate it? So right now, one of the people who's coming under even greater fire than Matt Gaetz in some ways is Nancy Mace. She joined, for no reason anyone can explain, seven hardliners in ousting McCarthy. She is, at best, a moderate Republican, particularly on abortion. It shocked everybody when she joined to oust McCarthy. According to Politico, McCarthy and Mace didn't always see eye to eye, but the California Republican had helped Mace secure her seat in Congress by pumping millions of dollars into her once struggling campaign. Mace's move to aggressively fundraise off of her vote to bounce McCarthy is only intensifying her colleagues' anger towards her. For Mace, the anti-McCarthy vote may prove a purposeful step in a chameleonic career that's already seen her swing repeatedly between Trump-centric conservative and establishment-bucking centrism. Mace is making clear her vote for Speaker is up for the taking by either Steve Scalise or Representative Jim Jordan. Elsewhere in the GOP, revenge is on the menu. House Republicans are now weighing to expel Mace from at least two centrist-leaning groups she belonged to in the first place. That follows hard on a very awkward appearance for Nancy Mace on CNN, where she was sending out fundraising emails in the middle of the ouster McCarthy, and she was asked on CNN, you ripped Matt Gaetz for doing exactly the same thing earlier this year.
I'm asking people to go to my website at nancymace.org to help me to show their support, because there are folks that are coming after me tonight.
I'm glad you brought that up, because back in January, when there were the marathon votes for Kevin McCarthy to get this job, he was fighting to take the gavel. This is something that you said.
Mm-hmm. Matt Gaetz is a fraud. Every time he voted against Kevin McCarthy last week, he sent out a fundraising email. What you saw last week was a constitutional process diminished by those kinds of political actions.
Of course, now here we are in October. You and Congressman Gaetz are in agreement on at least ousting McCarthy. You were on a podcast the other today. You yourself
the
have been
irony,
fundraising off that vote. How do you explain that to now?
Well, I have not been fundraising off of this every step of the way. I made my decision last night. I made the decision to fundraise over the last 24 hours because of the threats that I have received over fundraising and money drying up, which is why I need help.
Okay, so here's the deal. Republicans, whoever takes over is going to have some tools at their disposal. By the way, a government shutdown is still a possibility about 40 days from now. Brian Riedel, a former aide to Senator Rob Portman of Ohio, who's now at the Manhattan Institute, said it becomes substantially harder to do a government spending deal because the message has been sent that Republicans should not rely on Democrats to pass any bills. Things can always get worse. The no-compromise fringe has been strongly empowered and essentially has a veto over House Republican policy, which can't be squared with what Democrats in the White House want. So if we end up with a government shutdown in the middle of bad economic news, I'll bring you some of that news in just a moment, and it's because Republicans are smacking each other in the back of the head, how are voters going to take that in the next congressional election? Again, we ought to have a little bit of vision beyond the next 5 minutes. Already coming up, the Joe Biden economy on very thin footing. There's an employment report out today. Looks kind of positive, but also has some pretty negative ramifications long term. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
The official meeting of the Business to Business meeting is called to order. Business to Business, where we always say, make every transaction a win-win-win. Our guest today is Steve Clark from Minuteman Press of Reading.
Today I'd like to talk to you about business cards.
I just get mine from Vista.
Don't say it. Don't do it. If you're thinking of ordering your business cards online, don't do it. Keep your business local.
But they're cheaper online.
No. Business cards from Minuteman Press of Reading start at just $35, and custom design services start at $29, and you keep your money local.
Hey, that's a win.
Let us at Minuteman Press of Reading take care of your business cards. Rapid turnaround time and priced right. We also do full-service direct mail and promotional products at Minuteman Press of Reading.
Call 221-0400. That's 221-0400.
For Minuteman Press of Reading, where we design, print, and promote you.
221-0400. That's 221-0400.
Minuteman Press of Reading. Call today.
At Cornerstone Community Bank, you're more than just a customer. You're our friends, neighbors, the local businesses where we shop, and the restaurants where we dine. Your success strengthens our community. Come meet our amazing teams in Reading, Red Bluff, and our newest location in Anderson, and find out why we are more than banking. Cornerstone Community Bank,
Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
Hi, it's Mark from Haven Humane Society. Are you looking to add to your family? We have puppies, kittens, small critters, and farm animals. Each year, we have thousands of amazing animals looking for homes come into our lives, and we hope to have them join yours. Follow us on social media and find our links on our website, havenhumane.org. Watch our weekly content on YouTube, like our Mark's Monday mashup, when we talk about what's going on and introduce you to our team and adoptable animals. Get involved. Volunteer. Thank you for all your continued support. Together, we are moving closer to our ultimate goal of a North State with no more homeless pets.
Welcome to the Queen of Dragons Dispensary, your ultimate destination for top-notch cannabis experiences. Conveniently located at 5044 Shasta Dam Boulevard, Shasta Lake, our locally owned and operated dispensary takes pride in providing you with the best in price, value, and safety. Rest easy knowing that all of our products are rigorously tested for your peace of mind. We champion medical freedom, empowering you to choose what's right for you. At the Queen of Dragons, we house a remarkable selection of fresh, locally sourced, top-shelf indoor premium products packaged daily. Unbelievable value for unbeatable quality. We're open 7 days a week from 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. For exclusive deals and exciting updates, don't forget to follow us on Twitter at The Queen Dragons. Join our vibrant community, The Queen of Dragons Dispensary, where the fire of quality meets the freedom of choice. Visit us at www.queenofdragons.com or call 530-276-9771 to evaluate your cannabis experience today.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So we have new numbers from the Biden economy. They kind of look good on the surface, and then the more you look at them, the more you got a problem. The Biden economy here is on very thin footing. Mohammed El-Erian, who I really trust as an analyst on this sort of stuff, he says that the possibility of avoiding a hard landing here is really, really decreasing pretty significantly. He has a piece over the Financial Times pointing this out. He says the economy is likely to weaken as markets internalize the significant likelihood that rates will stay higher for longer. He says an intense period of rising interest rates, high oil prices, and a stronger dollar is pushing the financial market consensus on U.S. economic growth away from the comforting notion of a soft landing. By my count, this will be the sixth time in the past 15 months that conventional wisdom shifts for the world's most influential economy. It's a pivot that unfortunately is likely to stick for longer this time around, threatening what has been an impressively strong U.S. economy, undermining genuine financial stability, and exporting volatility to the rest of the world. In just the last 2 weeks, the yield on the benchmark U.S. 10-year bond has risen by some 0.5 percentage points to around 4.8% as part of a comprehensive shift in the entire interest rate structure. The move brought the change in yields to an eye-popping 1 percentage point since the end of June, leading to higher borrowing rates for companies, more burdensome car loans for households, more pronounced and uneven deposit outflows from the banking system as investors shift cash into money market accounts. Notably, the cost of a 30-year mortgage is up to 8%, making already expensive home purchases even less affordable. Pushing yields up in an increasingly disorderly manner is a combination of markets, recognizing that the higher policy rates set by the Fed will be here for a while, and the need to absorb a significant supply of Treasury bonds due to large budgetary deficit. Plus, there's high oil prices. These are developments that the economy and markets do not enjoy. They damp growth. They increase the threat of stagflation. And that continues to be a serious threat. There's a jobs report that at first glance looks really, really nice. A jobs report in September that showed 336,000 jobs added. But if the idea was that the economy is overheated and that we've spent too much money and that the economy needs to be cooled, then adding 336,000 jobs, that's a very high rate, and doing that without really increasing the labor force participation rate in any serious way, which just means that, you know, basically the same percentage of people are in the labor force who were in the labor force before, continuing that sort of thing is not going to lead the Federal Reserve to lower interest rates. They're going to increase interest rates again. According to ABC News, being a little optimistic, it's possible the cooling of pay growth may help reassure the Fed's inflation fighters, who are scrutinizing every scrap of data to determine whether to raise their key rate again this year. Still, the outsized job growth may stoke worries the economy will expand too fast for inflation to cool. If people think, by the way, that the rates are going to go up on bonds, for example, what does that do? It drives the bond yield up. The price on the bonds that we have already released into the market is going to go down. As those bond yields increase, that means eventually people are going to shift their money out of stocks and into these very high yield bonds. When they do that, the stock market is going to stagnate. Already, earnings are threatened. So, again, we are in a really tensor hook situation on the economy. What Joe Biden, I think, might be waiting for here, frankly, is for Republicans to shut down the government. Because if they shut down the government, at least he can blame his failing economy on somebody who is not him. This is just another reason why Republicans need to be smart and strategic about this sort of stuff, as opposed to grandstanding and creating a new speaker who has no power to actually cudgel his own members into line. Because let's be real about this. The idea that you're going to pass a party line budget without any ability to cudgel your own members into line, that's going to be a very difficult thing to do, particularly in the face of a Democratic Senate. And meanwhile, Hillary Clinton, she just comes out of the woodwork every so often to really wreck American politics further. I don't know why she is still on the TVs, but she is. She has now called for the formal deprogramming of MAGA members. They're in a cult, you see. If you're a Democrat and you cultishly and slavishly worship Barack Obama or Hillary Clinton or now an elderly dotard who has the inability to speak from his face hole, then that's because you're normal. But if you're a Trump fan, or even if you're not a Trump fan, but you voted for him, this means that you are a MAGA member who must be deprogrammed.
I mean, we had very strong partisans in both parties in the past, and we had very bitter battles over all kinds of things, gun control and climate change and the economy and taxes. But there wasn't this little tail of extremism waving, you know, wagging the dog of the Republican Party as it is today. Mm-hmm. And sadly, so many of those extremists, those MAGA extremists, take their marching orders from Donald Trump, who has no credibility left by any measure. He's only in it for himself. He's now defending himself in civil actions and criminal actions. And when do they break with him? You know, because at some point, you know, maybe there needs to be a formal deprogramming of the cult members, but something needs to happen.
What does that mean, a formal deprogramming of the cult members? Does that sound fascistic to you? It sounds fascistic to me. Are you talking about fun adult camps like she once talked about? Re-education camps? Like what would formal deprogramming even look like from Hillary Clinton? And this should be frightening. It should be particularly frightening given the fact that according to Newsweek, the federal government believes the threat of violence and major civil disturbances around the 2024 U.S. presidential election is so great, it has quietly created a new category of extremists it seeks to track and counter, Donald Trump's army of MAGA followers. The FBI, apparently, is going to pursue and prevent what it calls domestic terrorism without direct reference to political parties or affiliations, but the vast majority of its current anti-government investigations are of Trump supporters, according to classified data obtained by Newsweek. A current FBI official says the FBI is in an almost impossible situation. The FBI is intent on stopping domestic terrorism and any repeat of January 6th, but they're focusing on former President Trump and his MAGA supporters. This is what they are doing right now. Newsweek spoke to over a dozen current or former government officials specializing in terrorism in a 3-month investigation to understand the current domestic security landscape and to evaluate what Biden is doing about what it calls domestic terrorism. And they've been looking at secret FBI and DHS data, tracking incidents, threats, investigations, and cases. It seems as though they are cracking down on MAGA members, presumably at the behest of President Biden, who tweeted last September, Donald Trump and MAGA Republicans are a threat to the very soul of this country. So that means the people who oppose Joe Biden need deprogramming. The FBI needs to target them. All of this should scare the living hell out of you. And it's not just, by the way, that they are targeting the common Donald Trump voter. They're also targeting anybody who's just heterodox. The Biden administration, meanwhile, continues to target Elon Musk. How many agencies are targeting Elon Musk at this point? We've got the SEC, which is targeting him. We've got the FTC, which is targeting him. That the NLRB, I believe, is targeting him. It's like every agency of the federal government is now targeting Elon. That's weird. Why is that happening? I can't imagine. Other than that he has heterodox political opinions, the SEC said Thursday it is seeking another court order that would compel Elon Musk to testify as part of an investigation into his purchase of Twitter, now called X. The SEC said in a filing in a San Francisco federal court, Musk failed to appear for testimony on September 15th, despite an investigative subpoena served by the SEC and having raised no objections at the time it was served. But 2 days before scheduled testimony, Musk abruptly notified the SEC staff he would not appear. The SEC said it has been conducting a fact-finding investigation involving the period before Musk's takeover last year when Twitter was still publicly traded. The agency said it has not concluded that anyone violated federal securities laws. They're just investigating, you know, for the fun of it and for the hell of it. By the way, it's why would you investigate Elon Musk for buying Twitter and turning it into X? By pretty much every available account, he has lost tens of billions of dollars in that transaction. So what exactly is the horrible thing that he did when he took the hit? The answer, of course, is that put pressure on Musk and hope to shut him up is the basic idea. So Elon Musk tweeted out, a comprehensive overhaul of these agencies is sorely needed, along with a commission to take punitive action against those individuals who have abused their regulatory power for personal and political gain. Can't wait for this to happen. He says the probability of it happening is 100%. Well, we can only hope and pray that that is true, because the threats against Musk have been pretty extraordinary. Alrighty, folks, we've reached the end of the show. We'll be back here Monday with much more. I'm Ben Shapiro. This is The Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life,
your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Tayshia Stevens. The United Auto Workers Union says it will stop expanding its strike.
The reason? UAW President Sean Fain says General Motors made a breakthrough concession on unionizing electric vehicle battery plants.
We were about to shut down GM's largest moneymaker in Arlington, Texas. The company knew those members were ready to walk immediately.
Fain did say more plants could be added to the strikes later, but the outlook is encouraging.
We are making significant progress. In just 3 weeks, we have moved these companies further than anyone thought was possible.
The union wants pay raises, cost of living pay, and restoration of pensions for new hires. Car makers say raising labor costs could make their vehicles more expensive than competitors like Tesla. I'm Ed Donahue.
President Biden says he believes the latest jobs numbers amount to good news for the economy.
The president is touting the creation of 336,000 jobs in September, which was a surprisingly strong number.
The unemployment rate has stayed below 4% for 20 months in a row, the longest stretch in 50 years.
Asked why most Americans don't feel good about the economy, the president blamed the press for emphasizing bad news. Greg Clugston, Washington.
Candidates for Speaker of the House will not take part in a televised forum next week, according to reports. Lawmakers pulled out of the event after Fox News announced Representatives Jim Jordan, Steve Scalise, and Kevin Hearn would take part. It comes after Kevin McCarthy was forced out of his role this past week. Democratic presidential candidate Robert F. Kennedy Jr. says he has a major announcement on the way. Last month, he released a video saying he'll be traveling to Philadelphia on October 9th to make a speech at the birthplace of our nation. News is fueling speculation he may decide to run for president as an independent candidate. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The United States Constitution guarantees every American fundamental rights and protection of life, liberty, and property. Salem is celebrating our founding document with a special offer, a 1953 Oman U.S. Constitution lithograph. To understand the value of these lithographs is to know the story. A master lithographer immigrant named Theodore Oman came to this country to find the American dream. 70 years ago, in 1953, Oman printed a limited number of these exceptional Constitution lithographs. Go to Salem Event. EventStore.com to read Oman's entire story. America's most important document stands as a testament to all Americans to maintain their liberties, freedoms, and inalienable rights. Buy it and display it proudly. Buy a gift for your family and friends and for all the teachers in your communities. There is a limited number, so act today. Go to SalemEventStore.com to get your exclusive 1953 Oman U.S. Constitution lithograph while supplies last. That's SalemEventStore.com.
Stocks got a boost to close out the week, Seth Sutel reports.
Stocks shook off a weak start and rallied to a higher close on Friday. That came after investors found things to like in a mixed report on the U.S. jobs market. The S&P 500 rose 1.2% after erasing an earlier drop of 0.9%. The Dow added 288 points. That's about 0.9%. The Nasdaq Composite flipped to a gain of 1.6%. Stocks initially tumbled after the strong jobs report raised worries about upward pressure on inflation. That seemed to increase the likelihood that the Federal Reserve would keep interest rates higher for longer. But the employment report also included some more encouraging nuggets for the inflation fighters at the Federal Reserve, including a moderation in wage growth. Seth Sutel, New York.
Jeff Bezos is entering the Internet space race, the Amazon founder launching two prototype satellites for his broadband constellation. It will put over 3,200 satellites into orbit over the next few years. News and analysis at townhall.com. A Hong Kong man is sentenced to 4 months in prison for importing children's books deemed to be dangerous.
Kurt Leung was sentenced on Friday after he admitted to importing 18 children's books featuring wolves and sheep. The 38-year-old clerk was arrested in March after he signed for a delivery from the UK containing the books. The books featured sheep that lived in a village and had to defend themselves against wolves. Authorities in Hong Kong say the books are an attempt at inciting hatred in young people and stir up contempt against the government in Hong Kong and mainland China. I'm Charles Tillidesma.
The Consumer Product Safety Commission is recalling over 70 million units of a candy following the choking death of a 7-year-old girl. The Safety Commission says slime, liquor, sour, rolling liquid candy, and rolling candy made by Cocoa Candy is a choking hazard. More on these stories at townhall.com.
It's never too late to start at Shasta College. Late start classes and 8-week compressed classes are still available. To learn more about upskilling or reskilling for a current job or career, information is online at shastacollege.edu or call one of our counselors to see how easy it is to get enrolled at 530-242-7650. Shasta College offers in-person, hybrid, and online class options to fit your busy life and responsibilities. Financial aid is available. More at shastacollege.edu.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
Hey, and welcome. This is The Ben Shapiro Show. Today's show is sponsored by ExpressVPN. Do you like your web history being seen and sold to advertisers? No, me neither. Get ExpressVPN right now at expressvpn.com/Ben Shapiro. The House race to replace the Speaker is on. Again, the recriminations have only begun at this point, because the fact of the matter is this was a stupid fight that achieves nothing. It's all about incentive structures. As I suggested yesterday on the show, it is not about Kevin McCarthy being a bad Speaker of the House. The truth is, it wasn't even about Paul Ryan being a bad Speaker of the House. You make a better case that it was Boehner being a bad Speaker of the House, but the reality is that in all of these situations, these folks have been ousted largely because of divided government and then unrealistic expectations from other members of the political caucus, who either have unrealistic expectations or who are fibbing to their own crowd. See, for politicians, it's the incentive structure is always to tell your own people the things they want to hear. And what your people want to hear is, if they vote for you, they will get the sun, the moon, and the stars. If they vote for you, you will be able to give them everything they could possibly have wanted. And then when that doesn't materialize, you have a couple of choices. One is, you could be honest with them. You could say, listen, we did the best that we could. We got the most that we can. The problem there is that you're going to be outflanked by someone else who's going to come along and promise them the sun, the moon, and the stars. So you can either rely on the intelligence of your voting base, which you could do, and I think the most honest and best politicians do that. They say, listen, we were shooting for 100%, and instead we got 80%. We got 60%. That's all we could get, because that's the reality of life. But it does put you in the political danger of being outflanked by someone who's going to promise you everything in the world. And the way that you were able to keep members in line, to keep them from doing this sort of stuff originally, was that the party structures were pretty significant, meaning that they could deny you money, that if you crossed the party could punish you in some way. Well, as the parties have become significantly less important in American political life, and by that I mean the parties exert virtually no pull over their members anymore. That is certainly true in the Republican Party. It's less true in the Democratic Party, where AOC will follow Nancy Pelosi, not because she loves Nancy Pelosi, but because Nancy Pelosi has the power to punish her, or did until very recently. Well, in the Republican Party, there's no power to punish. In fact, it's precisely the other way around. In order for Speaker McCarthy to have become Speaker of the House, he had to make promises to a very small coterie of members of his own caucus, like the vast minority of his own caucus, that a single person could initiate a vote to take down the Speaker. He had to do that in order to get the speakership position. Well, that put him in an inherently weak position. So here is the problem. Now when people say, oh, well, we'll replace McCarthy with someone better. Fine. Let's say that you get Jim Jordan. I love Jim Jordan. Jim Jordan's great. Representative from Ohio. He's on the House Oversight Committee. He's a real bulldog. I know him personally. He's great. Or let's say you get Steve Scalise. Steve's terrific. I really like Steve a lot. Let's say you get either one of those guys as Speaker of the House. If the same rules apply to them that apply to Kevin McCarthy, it will not matter if they are, quote unquote, better than Kevin McCarthy. Because in the end, let's say it comes down to another continuing resolution, and you are one of these members of Congress who is not beholden to your party, but who does make hay by fibbing to your constituents that the sun, the moon, and the stars are possible. Well, you can just do the same thing to Jim Jordan. You call him a rhino. You say, wait, you weren't willing to shut down the government over spending? That's because you are insufficiently conservative. You must be ousted. So the only way this gets better, ironically, is for Matt Gaetz to have all of his power taken away by the new Republican majority speaker. That's the only way this works. The only way this gets better is Jim Jordan, in making the deal to become speaker, basically reneges on all the things that Kevin McCarthy promised, including the ability of people to challenge his speakership with one vote. Because otherwise, this is just going to keep happening. All it takes is one. All it takes is like five because the House majority for the Republicans is so damn slim. By the way, one of the reasons that it's so unbelievably slim as opposed to what it was supposed to be after the last election cycle, which was, you know, a 30-seat House majority for the Republicans. The reason for that is because Donald Trump backed a bunch of really bad candidates in purple districts and they lost. That is the reason. In fact, moderate Republicans won in New York if they were good candidates. Florida, they did really well. A lot of the places in the country, they lost very tight races, in large part because they were very, very Trumpy. And they offended a lot of those swing voters for the same reason that Republicans did not win Senate seats in, say, Arizona or in Georgia or in Pennsylvania. So the problem is systemic, is the point that I'm making. And so to pretend that this is a principled act by Matt Gaetz and company to oust McCarthy, and that if we get someone better in there, that's going to fix all our problems. Now we'll get spending under control. Not true. It's not true. And if you believe that, then you're just going to keep getting suckered. This is a point made by Representative Claudia Tenney. She is a representative from New York. And again, she's from New York, which means she's vulnerable. Now, you may say, well, she's a rhino. How could she not want to lower spending? She does want to lower spending. She's also from New York. And here's the thing. You want a national majority, or do you prefer Hakeem Jeffries to be Speaker of the House? If you would like the Republicans to be in charge of Congress, you need people like Claudia Tenney in Congress. She's in a swing district. Here's Claudia Tenney.
We wouldn't have subpoenaed the documents. We wouldn't have had Jason Smith as chair of the House Ways and Means Committee, who opened a whistleblower portal. We would never have known what these whistleblowers brought forth.
Yeah.
Under duress, under threat of their jobs. We would not know any of these things. None of this would have been McCarthy hadn't been Speaker. And
yeah.
It's not about Kevin McCarthy. These people are going to hold hostage whoever the next Speaker is.
And that is right. That is right. So I would hope that whether it's Jim Jordan or Steve Scalise, whoever becomes the next Speaker of the House, the dictate is, I'm not going to even allow a motion to hit the floor unless a majority of the Republican caucus wants it. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to have a motion to get rid of me as Speaker unless there's a large contingent, even if it's not a majority, a significant minority that doesn't want me to be here. I'm not going to do it for one vote. I'm not going to do it for four votes. And that, by the way, should be the same thing offered by every Speaker of the House candidate. Now, the problem is you have a collective action problem there. So let's say Steve Scalise and Jordan decide that they are going to say, listen, neither of us is going to take the speakership position unless we claw back some of the powers that McCarthy gave to Gaetz and crew. Well, all it's going to take at that point is for someone to swing in from the right and say, no, I'll give you whatever you want. I'll give you whatever you want. And all it takes, again, is for Gaetz and crew to say, well, they're going to give us more power, so we'll go with them. The incentive systems here are completely misaligned. Even RNC chairwoman Ronna McDaniel, who I think has done overall a pretty horrific job. And the reason I say that is because when you lose consistently election after election, 2018, 2020, 2021, 2022, I don't know how you maintain your job, but apparently this is the new way Republicans do things. The more you lose, the more we are loyal to you or something. In any case, here's Ronna Romney McDaniel talking about all of this.
You blame Matt Gaetz and the rebels on the conservative side. Should they have not taken this step in their frustration?
I'm going to be a happy warrior like Kevin McCarthy, and I'm going to say, let's just get the business of the American people done. Let's get this speaker vote done. Let's make sure we don't have this motion to vacate so we don't have chaos again. We can't do this next year. We cannot do this and win. If this happens again, we are jeopardizing a very small House majority.
Okay, and she's right about that. But the problem is all of these incentives have now been created. You are better off being the free radical than you are being the person who actually cares about the party achieving victories. And whether or not you like it, this was a pattern set by Donald Trump in 2016. He ran directly against the Republican Party. I understand there are a lot of people who are very upset with the quote-unquote establishment Republican Party. I'm upset with them, too. I think they spent too much money. I think they caved on social issues. I think a lot of their foreign policy is bad. However, this notion that you can simply buck the entire system and that this somehow benefits the entire system, I've yet to see that bear real results. What are the real results of that? Where are they? By the way, like, I'd like to see them. Victory is promised, so let's see some victories achieved. We're going to get to more of this in just one second. First, I wanted to let you know, if you really enjoy The Ben Shapiro Show and The Daily Wire, we have a bunch of other shows over at DailyWire.com. Let Michael Knowles tell you about his show.
Hey, Michael Knowles here. As you might expect, I am the host of The Michael Knowles Show. Conservative pessimists say the world can't get any worse. Conservative optimists say it certainly can. Luckily, there is hope and a whole lot of fun to be had at the left's expense. Come check out The Michael Knowles Show at The Daily Wire. You can listen to the show for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, YouTube, or Facebook. It is all over the place. You can watch the full show ad-free on DailyWire.com. And don't miss exclusive videos we make on my YouTube channel, such as my woke commercial reviews and the Chaz Funniest Home videos. We break down everything from Drag Queen Story Hour to the Paris Climate Agreement. So come on over and check out The Michael Knowles Show wherever you get your podcasts. Every Monday through Friday. See you there.
You know, I pretend that I really hate Michael, but really, it's not hatred. It's more just a strong and intense dislike. You heard it here first, gang. Make sure to check out The Michael Knowles Show. Already coming up, Kevin McCarthy is now suggesting that Nancy Pelosi should have saved him from his fate. That seems unlikely. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
At Premier Oil Change, you can be assured that our highly trained staff will take great care of you and your vehicle. From your air pressure to your windshield wipers and everything in between, we make it easy for you with our quick, convenient drive-through service. No appointment necessary. You just drive right in. We also perform our comprehensive 30-point certified service. You get to enjoy a free beverage with free Wi-Fi and earn points towards free products and services with Premier Rewards. Use Premier Services to maintain your new car warranty. Now that is a win-win. Drive in today. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com or visit us in Palo Cedro, located in the Holiday Market Shopping Center, or in Redding on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park, or in Anderson across from Round Table Pizza. All three locations, you get a free car wash with every oil change. Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier, your friendly oil change.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
It's never too late to start at Shasta College. Late start classes and 8-week compressed classes are still available. To learn more about upskilling or reskilling for a current job or career, information is online at ShastaCollege.edu or call one of our counselors to see how easy it is to get enrolled at 530-242-7650. Shasta College offers in-person, hybrid, and online class options to fit your busy life and responsibilities. Financial aid is available. More at ShastaCollege.edu.
At Cornerstone Community Bank, you're more than just a customer. You're our friends, neighbors, the local businesses where we shop, and the restaurants where we dine. Your success strengthens our community. Come meet our amazing teams in Redding, Red Bluff, and our newest location in Anderson, and find out why we are more than banking. Cornerstone Community Bank, member FDIC and equal housing lender.
Hi, it's Mark from Haven Humane Society. Are you looking to add to your family? We have puppies, kittens, small critters, and farm animals. Each year, we have thousands of amazing animals looking for homes come into our lives, and we hope to have them join yours. Follow us on social media and find our links on our website at havenhumane.org. Watch our weekly content on YouTube, like our Mark's Monday mashup, when we talk about what's going on and introduce you to our team and adoptable animals. Get involved. Volunteer. Thank you for all your continued support. Together, we are moving closer to our ultimate goal of a North State with no more homeless pets.
Butcher.
Welcome back to the Ben Shapiro Show. So Kevin McCarthy is pointing out that Nancy Pelosi had promised him that she would not allow him to fall if the right flank of the party went against him. Never trust an alligator, folks. McCarthy pointed out yesterday, as he was leaving, Democrats had pledged that they would basically bail him out with the Matt Gaetz crew if they brought this motion to replace the speaker. He mentioned this yesterday.
After we had won the majority, I had become speakerless. And Nancy Pelosi came to me. She was speaker at the time on the way out. And I told her I was having issues with getting enough votes. And she said, what's the problem? I said, they want this one person can rule you out. She was the only speaker to have changed that rule. I had the power to call the vote on her, but I never would. I lost some votes because of it. And she said, just give it to him. I'll always back you up. I made the same offer to Boehner and same thing to Paul, because I believe in the institution. I think today was a political decision by the Democrats. And I think the things they have done in the past hurt the institution. And they just started removing people from committee. And they just started doing the other things. And my fear is the institution fell today.
Okay, he happens to be right about this. Now, is it a smart idea to place your trust in Nancy Pelosi? Of course, it's a very stupid idea to place your trust in Nancy Pelosi. And today I'm seeing a lot of hue and cry from the right side of the aisle that supports McCarthy saying, well, why didn't the Democrats step in? The Democrats could have saved McCarthy. Because this entire vote, you know, for all the talk about rhinos, it was 8 Republicans who voted along with all the Democrats to remove McCarthy. And yes, Nancy Pelosi could have carved off, you know, 5 votes and she could have saved McCarthy. And then the institution would have continued to move on as normal. But why would you trust Democrats to do that? Like, what in your record makes you think that Nancy Pelosi was ever going to bail you out? Well, the predictable result of this is that, again, more norms are broken. So there are certain norms in the House of Representatives that have just gone by the wayside, as McCarthy mentioned right there. One of them is that you don't remove members of the other party from their committees just because you don't like them. You recall that they actually did this. The Democrats removed certain Republican members from their from their committees, even though they really did not have power to do so. And so Republicans have now threatened to do the same to Democrats, as they should. Like, Eric Swalwell should not be on the Intel Committee, for example. Ilhan Omar should not be on the Foreign Affairs Committee. Like, okay, but the rule was you didn't do that. And then Democrats broke that rule, and now Republicans are going to break that rule in kind. Well, now Republicans are taking their revenge on the Democrats by evicting them from their hideaway offices. According to CBS News, 2 longtime Democratic leaders, Representatives Nancy Pelosi and Steny Hoyer, have been evicted from their so-called hideaway offices in the Capitol in the aftermath of Kevin McCarthy's ouster as House Speaker. Pelosi confirmed on Tuesday night that Representative Patrick McHenry, the new Speaker pro tem, has ordered she immediately vacate my office in the Capitol. This eviction is a sharp departure from tradition, said Pelosi. Oh, my God. Like, listening to Nancy Pelosi caterwaul about tradition is laughable. This lady who was kneeling in kente cloth in the halls of Congress. As Speaker, I gave former Speaker Hastert a significantly larger suite of offices for as long as he wished. Office space doesn't matter to me, but it seems to be important to them. Now that the new Republican leadership has settled this important matter, let's hope they get to work on what's truly important for the American people. Now, again, the hideaway offices, they vary in size and location. Some are windowless rooms on the basement level. Others have high ceilings, chandeliers, big windows. The hideaway office of the late Senator Robert Byrd was this really, really nice office. It's not clear why they were tossed, but the evictions were probably in revenge by the Republican caucus for the Democrats basically allowing Gates to hold up the entire process. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, for her part, she doesn't care about the institution of Congress. She tweeted out, does anyone believe for 1 minute McCarthy would help elect a Dem speaker, quote-unquote, for the institution? McCarthy's hubris is a theme. He loudly stated he would not negotiate with Democrats called virtually none, trash those who helped with the CR, and then expected Dem votes for free? Well, and then she continues, if McCarthy cared so much for the institution, he wouldn't have opened a baseless impeachment without a House vote. If he cared for the institution, he wouldn't have voted to overturn election results. He would have honored his debt limit deal with the president and all the rest. Okay, so, again, I understand hard-nosed politics, but what goes around comes around, and that's the way that it's going to be. I mean, this is the era in which we live. Any rule the Democrats break is going to be met with equal and opposite fire by the Republicans. And frankly, I'm totally fine with that. I'm totally fine with that. Democrats broke the tradition in terms of judicial nominees, suggesting that they could ram people through with a 51-vote majority, Mitch McConnell, and put 3 of Donald Trump's nominees on the Supreme Court with just over 50 votes. Democrats decided to break all the rules with regard to committee assignments. Republicans will respond in kind. It's just going to be this. This is going to be the way that it is. Because all trust between the parties is gone. Who even wants this garbage job? Well, there are at least 3 people who have entered the fray. One is the House Majority Leader, Steve Scalise. He announced his candidacy. So did Ohio Representative Jim Jordan, chairman of the House Judiciary Committee. Here's Jim Jordan yesterday announcing.
Let's suppose the conference does get together and makes that decision as you just described and comes together.
Yeah.
And hypothetically, they say the person we need to lead us now is Jim Jordan. Would you accept that leadership?
I mean, again, yeah, if the conference decides, that's their decision. But and that's how I think it has to be. When you have when you only control the House of Representatives in the legislative branch, the Democrats have control of the White House and the Senate, and you got a 4-vote majority in the House, you got to have everyone on board with this is the person we want to lead us. And so it's got to be a kind of a bottom-up conference decides who that individual is going to be.
So Scalise's job has been as the House Majority Leader. His decision, his job has been to sort of bring everybody together, and that's the case that he's making, is that he's trying to, quote-unquote, build consensus where others thought it impossible. He has good relationships across the conference. He wasn't particularly close with Kevin McCarthy. One problem is that he is being treated currently for blood cancer, so that is a serious concern. Jim Jordan is considered a real firebrand. He is very closely allied with Donald Trump, but unclear if the left wing of the party is going to support Jim Jordan. He ended up being close with McCarthy and was upset when he got tossed. Jordan has some early endorsements from Daryl Issa of California, Thomas Massie of Kentucky, Jim Banks of Indiana, all of which are good endorsements, obviously. And then there is a third member, Oklahoma Representative Kevin Hearn. He also is running for the position. He's the chair of the Conservative Republican Study Committee. He said he hadn't made an official announcement. Also, Chip Roy might get in. Again, unclear how all of this is going to shake out at this point. None of this matters if they don't actually change the rules. There needs to be a change in the rules in terms of who can actually just get rid of somebody. The motion to vacate the chair, as the Wall Street Journal points out, used against McCarthy is going to hang over the head of the next speaker. McCarthy allies at Representative Don Bacon of Nebraska said whoever gets 218, if they can get 218 with these eight ungovernable people, they'll always hold this over their head. They'll demand what they just did to Kevin. I don't believe he can govern with these eight people. Others say that changing the rule will be a condition for their support. Representative Carlos Jimenez of Florida, he said the person who wants my vote for speaker has to commit to reforming the motion to vacate because nobody can actually govern under these particular circumstances. Now, the truth is that McCarthy, again, represented kind of the center of the Republican Party, if you could say that there is one. He was very Trumpy, but at the same time, he was in favor of increased aid to Ukraine. But if the party didn't want the aid to Ukraine, he was going to carve it out of the CR. He's actually pretty representative of what the Republican caucus wanted. All these other people have pretty strong positions. Scalise has been working behind the scenes to replace McCarthy as Speaker, trying to shore up support, according to Fox News Digital. After House Majority Whip Tom Emmer suggested Scalise should make a good speaker, Scalise told reporters that he didn't have anything to announce. So we'll see how all of this moves forward. Meanwhile, the knives are out for Gates. And, you know, on a pure karmic level, he deserves it. Because what he is doing here is absolute grandstanding. It, as I've mentioned over and over again, it is stupid, counterproductive. It does not actually achieve anything. Senator Mark Wayne Mullen of Oklahoma went after Matt Gaetz in a kind of different way yesterday. He talked a little bit about Matt Gaetz, the personality.
You got to think about this guy. This is a guy that didn't have that the media didn't give a time of day to after he was accused of sleeping with an underage girl. And there's a reason why no one in the conference came and defended him, because we had all seen the videos he was showing on the House floor that all of us had walked away of the girls that he had slept with. He'd brag about how he would crush ED medicine and chase it with an energy drink so he could go all night. This is obviously before he got married. And so when that accusation came out, no one defended him, and then no one on the media would give him a time of the day. All of a sudden, he found fame because he opposed the Speaker of the House back in November, and he's always stayed there. And he was never going to leave until he got this last moment of fame by saying, by going after a motion to vacate.
It's important to know Congressman Gaetz has never been charged with any sex trafficking crime, and he gave this statement to CNN in response. I don't think Mark Wayne Mullen and I have said 20 words to each other on the House floor. This is a lie from someone who doesn't know me and who is coping with the death of the political career of his friend Kevin. Thoughts and prayers.
So things are going to get uglier, and things are also going to get stupider. One of the big suggestions that came out once the Speaker was vacated was that Donald Trump for the Speaker of the House. I'm sorry, this is clown show stuff. This is just clownish. It's clownish and ridiculous. Donald Trump for Speaker of the House. Now, technically, you don't have to be a member of the House to be Speaker of the House. Donald Trump, what, are you kidding me? You think he's going to whip votes? Donald Trump is going to fundraise on behalf of members of the House? That dude gave no money during the last election cycle to anyone who is not named Donald Trump. Like, what are you even talking about? Have we had enough sufficient shows of sycophantic bootlicking from members of the Republican caucus yet that we have to actually talk about this kind of nonsense? Like, seriously? You can vote for Trump for president, that's fine. Donald Trump did a lot of good things as president. Speaker of the House? Like, this, anybody who suggests this should be summarily laughed at. It's ridiculous. I'm sorry, it's just stupid on its face. He has no governing experience in the Congress. He doesn't know how a single legislative procedure works. He has spent his entire career basically dividing Republican against Republican. He achieved a massive victory against Hillary Clinton. He did wonderful things as president. And he also would be, like, the worst Speaker of the House. Like, what are we even talking about? This is, like, come on. Be serious for 5 seconds. And so Trump was asked about whether he would take the job, and here he was.
Would you take the job? A lot of people have asked me about it. I'm focused, you know, we're leading. I don't know, I'm sure you don't read too much in the papers, but we're leading by like 50 points for president. You know, my focus is totally on that. If I can help them during the process, I would do it.
Trump then promptly went on Truth Social and tweeted a picture of himself holding the speaker's gavel. You're listening to The Ben Shapiro Show.
Hey, what's going on, Redding, California? This is Tony Horde with Better Homes and Gardens Results Real Estate. Be sure and tune in to KCNR on your radio dial Wednesdays at 5 p.m. for Living in the North State. Together with my three amazing co-hosts, Rich Howe, Bill Woodford, and Mindy Cochran, we'll be interviewing professionals in the industry and taking your calls to answer all your questions and have a great time doing so. Talk to you then, Redding.
John Michael Hinton, renowned illusionist, will be at Simpson University for homecoming weekend. He's coming to Reading for one night only, a magic show you don't want to miss. A Simpson University alumni, John Michael Hinton's captivating illusions make people doubt their reality. Buy your tickets now for John Michael Hinton, Saturday, October 21st, and bring the family. Visit simpsonu.edu/Hinton to get your tickets today. That's simpsonu.edu/Hinton.
Hi, this is Chuck Kenny with Shasta Gas Propane. It's been a while since I've cut a new radio spot, but I feel I need to issue a warning about energy prices during this fall winter. Just as Obama said after he was elected, elections have consequences. This winter, our country will suffer some of the consequences of the last election. I'm not a politician, but I am a businessman, and many of the decisions of this current administration will drastically affect energy prices this winter and going forward. Already we are experiencing record high propane costs and prices. Remember, our motto at Shasta Gas Propane is, our customers are warm friends. We will treat you like friends this winter and do our best to help you through this high price winter. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
Everybody has been dealing with the availability of homeowners insurance in Northern California. Companies not writing your home insurance anymore are leaving the state altogether. Siskiyou Insurance has hired a specialist specifically for dealing with a homeowners crisis here in Shasta County. He specializes in what the market is doing, coverages, and which companies may be able to help. Call Brian Dews at Siskiyou Insurance Services for your home or auto consultation. Siskiyou Insurance Services, 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345.
October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and many organizations are having special Think Pink events to help spread awareness about breast cancer. 1 in 8 women will get breast cancer, but there's a 98% survival rate when discovered and treated early. Think Pink events include a new cornhole tournament, along with their annual 5K walk and run at the Turtle Bay Arboretum Loop Trail. There will also be a car show at the Redding Elks Lodge. And their special Think Pink bag giveaway is happening at Tri-Counties Bank from 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. on Thursday, October 19th, followed by the free 2023 Think Pink Sundial Bridge Resource Fair at Turtle Bay from 5 until 8 p.m. They will also be featuring food, local entertainment, guest speakers, and informational booths. There will also be a free shuttle from the Mount Shasta Mall to the event at the Sundial Bridge from 4:30 until 8:45 in the evening. Once again, October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and now's the time to think pink. American Ironworks, specializing in custom fabrication from designer gates, decorative railings, handmade furnishings to giant works of art. With over 20 years of experience in Northern California, American Ironworks provides the highest quality of craftsmanship for your home or commercial space. American Ironworks also offers hand-sketched and 3D graphic designs to help bring your concept to reality. Visit our website and social media at American Ironworks or call 530-949-0710, 530-949-0710.
333-233-B3.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. You know, there are people in the United States who actually rely on the federal government. I'm not talking about people who are on welfare. I'm talking about, like, people who are in business and want a predictable regime. I'm talking about people who don't want to see the national debt blown out. I'm talking about people who would like just to go about their daily lives without worrying about the chaos clown circus that is Congress. Marjorie Taylor Greene, again, one of our brightest lights, she tweeted out that she would only support Donald Trump. The only candidate for speaker I'm currently supporting is President Donald Trump. He will end the war in Ukraine. He will secure the border. He will end the politically weaponized government. By the way, he didn't do any of these things as President of the United States. Just going to point that out. He didn't secure the border. He didn't end the politically weaponized government. He will make America energy independent again. He will pass my bill to stop transgender surgeries on kids and keep men out of women's sports. He'll support our military. I'm wondering how he's going to do this as speaker. He's not going to run the Senate. So that's weird. He's not going to be president if he's the speaker, and so much more. He has a proven four-year record as president of the United States of America. He received a record number of Republican votes of any Republican presidential candidate. We can make him speaker and then elect him president. He will make America great again, says Marjorie Taylor Greene. Marjorie, he's not going to date you. Like, seriously, what? Stop being clowns for 5 seconds. Just stop it. Just stop being clowns. I know it's too much to ask. First party to sanity wins. First party to sanity wins. Meanwhile, President Trump, on the presidential level, continues to be bogged down with this ridiculous fraud case in New York. Again, this fraud case is based on specious assertions that because Donald Trump inflated the value of his real estate assets in negotiations with banks, and then banks didn't actually rely on those inflated values in order to make loans, that somehow this amounts to fraud, which is like every single person engaged in real estate in New York, if you want to go about it this way. Here is Donald Trump correctly saying they've weaponized justice, and also, you notice that we're talking about Donald Trump in the context of his own legal troubles and not in the, you know, a name that hasn't been mentioned so far this entire show, Joe Biden. You know why? Because when Republicans set themselves on fire and then jump through circus hoops, it turns out everyone talks about them and not Joe Biden, while Joe Biden is busy pummeling the American economy. Anyway, here's Donald Trump going off about the weaponization of justice, which, of course, he's right. And also, this isn't about Joe Biden.
Never been used. They used it on me, the former president, the leading candidate. I'm leading Joe Biden by a lot, which is probably why this is all happening. Not probably, but it's definitely. They're coordinating with Washington 100%. But without that, none of these cases would be going on. They've weaponized justice in our country. This trial is a disgrace.
He's right. He's right. And also, again, what are we not talking about? We are not talking right now about Joe Biden. Meanwhile, again, Trump continues to be by far, far and away, the poll leader in the clubhouse right now for the Republicans. The latest national average has Donald Trump at 57%, and the closest competitor, Ron DeSantis, at 14. The latest Economist YouGov poll that just came out yesterday has Trump at 58 and DeSantis at 13. If you look at the state levels, it's a little bit closer. They haven't had enough state polling in Iowa, frankly, at this point. DeSantis has gotten about a $15 million infusion. He's putting it all into Iowa. He's moving his entire staff into Iowa. The current polling in Iowa still has Donald Trump up on the field by 30 points. In New Hampshire, Donald Trump is still up on the field by 30 points. The latest USA Today Suffolk poll actually has Nikki Haley jumping into second place against Ron DeSantis. That poll does have a margin of error of 4.5% or so. In the Real Clear Politics polling average, it's basically Trump and then a group of people. Haley at 14%, DeSantis at 10%, Christie at 9%. Bottom line is there is no one challenger to Trump at this point. Which means we're going to be talking about these issues, as I say over and over again. If this is your bet, this is your bet. I don't think it's great strategy, but apparently strategy is of no impact at this point, which is really exciting. Meanwhile, Joe Biden is running this economy into the ground like a plane without wings. We're going to get to more of this in just 1 second. First, if you really enjoy the Ben Shapiro Show and the Daily Wire, we have a bunch of other shows over at DailyWire.com. Let Matt Walsh tell you about his show.
Hey, this is Matt Walsh, host of the Matt Walsh Show. Most of us, you know, don't wake up in the morning thinking about what the bureaucrats in D.C. are up to. At least I don't. Our concerns are more immediate than that, which is why I focus on social issues, culture, family, faith, even sometimes pop culture. Political issues are important, but I don't think they're the most important thing or the most entertaining thing, frankly. So if you're looking for a conservative show that goes beyond politics and brings you stories the mainstream media tries to ignore, come check out The Matt Walsh Show, Monday through Friday, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, SoundCloud, YouTube, Facebook, anywhere you go for podcasts, I'm there. Plus, if you check it out on DailyWire.com, you can watch the entire show ad-free. The Matt Walsh Show, check it out. I'll see you there.
If you're looking for cynicism, depression, and also hilarity, Matt is the place to go. Make sure you check out Matt's show. Okay, meanwhile, Joe Biden is doing a horrific job. Again, we've now been through most of today's show and not mentioned Joe Biden. How is that possible when the president of the United States is running this economy into a ditch? How is that possible? The answer is when Republicans, once again, kick themselves in the balls repeatedly, everyone points and laughs at the guy kicking himself in the balls, even if the building behind that guy is completely on fire and children are running and screaming. Like that. That's how it works. That's how it works. In any case, Joe Biden continues to be terrible at his job. He was asked yesterday how to confront family members who are MAGA family members. And here was Joe Biden at his most convincing and charismatic.
How would you advise those people who do share your concerns, but maybe wary to about talking to a MAGA parent, neighbor, coworker? How would you advise them to do that?
Vote. Vote. But I also think that we should be engaging people more and not be worried about our neighbor. Talk to them. Sit down and say, what do you think? Well, I'm not getting arguments, but say, this is what you say this, but how about this? And force people to get in a two-way conversation.
Wow. That is riveting stuff there from the dead president of the United States. When they used to say dead presidents, they meant, you know, the guys on dollar bills. Now we actually mean the president of the United States, who is a walking zombie at this point. Meanwhile, the economy headed for disaster. According to the Wall Street Journal, the U.S. has long been the lender of last resort to the world. During the emerging market panics of the 90s, the global financial crisis of 2007 to 2009, and the pandemic shutdown of 2020, it was Treasury's unmatched capacity to borrow that came to the rescue. Now, the Treasury itself is a source of risk. No, the United States isn't about to default or fail to sell enough bonds at its next auction. But the scale and upward trajectory of U.S. borrowing and the absence of any political corrective now threatens markets and the economy in ways they have not for at least a generation. That is the takeaway from a sudden sharp rise in Treasury yields in recent weeks. The usual suspects can't explain it. The inflation picture has gotten marginally better. The Federal Reserve has signaled it's nearly done raising rates. Instead, most of that increase is due to the part of yields, called the term premium, which has nothing to do with inflation or short-term rates. Numerous of factors affect that term premium. Rising government deficits are a prime suspect. Deficits have been wide for years now, so why should they matter right now? The better question is, what took so long? That larger deficits push up long-term rates had long been economic orthodoxy. But for the past 20 years, interest rate models that incorporated fiscal policy didn't work. Noted Ricardo Trezzi, former Fed economist. That's understandable. Central banks had kept interest rates around zero while buying up government bonds. That was inflation. It's quantitative easing. They just pumped money into the system. Private demand for credit was weak. This trumped any concern about deficits. Mark Weidman, senior managing director of BlackRock, says we had 25 blissful years of not having to worry about this problem. But today, central banks are worried about inflation being too high. They've stopped buying. In some cases, they're shedding their bond holdings. Suddenly, fiscal policy matters again. So again, as I've said 1,000 times, whatever goes up starts to come down. And that is true when it comes to the American economy. When you inflate things, they tend to burst. When you inflate a bubble, it tends to burst. Right now, no one wants to buy U.S. debt. Why does no one want to buy U.S. debt? Well, the answer is because there are a bunch of answers. One reason is because if the Fed, to fight inflation, has to continue increasing rates, that means that the bond that you bought yesterday is no longer worth money. Why? Well, because the bond that's coming out tomorrow has a higher face yield. That is why the yields on bonds are increasing. Bond yield, by the way, when I say the yield on bonds, what I mean is the price of bonds is dropping. So typically speaking, interest rates and price of bonds work in inverse proportion. So as interest rates go up, the price of bonds drops. Why? It seems counterintuitive. The answer is because people are worried the next interest rate increase makes the last bond worthless. This is what happened to Silicon Valley Bank, right? They banked on a certain facial rate of interest on the bonds they had bought. And then the Fed started issuing bonds at a much higher rate. And so all the bonds that Silicon Valley Bank was banking on were now worthless. You couldn't sell them in the open market. Meanwhile, at the same exact time that the Federal Reserve is increasing those interest rates, they're trying to sell bonds into the market. I mean, they're trying to sell tons of bonds into the market, which also undercuts the price. Why are they selling bonds in the market? Because of the deficit, because of the debt. So this is going to be a serious problem. The federal deficit was over 7% of GDP in fiscal 2023 after adjusting for accounting distortions related to student debt. That is larger than any deficit since 1930, outside of wars and recessions. This is occurring at a time of low unemployment and strong economic growth, suggesting that in normal times, when things are actually worse, deficits are going to be a lot higher. By the way, it is worth noting at this point that China and Japan are not buying our debt in the way that they were. According to Reuters, foreign holdings of U.S. Treasuries rose in July, rising for a second straight month despite an uncertain interest rate outlook muddied by a mixed set of economic figures. China's stash of treasuries, however, dropped to $821.8 billion, the lowest since May of 2009. Analysts said that China has been under pressure to defend its weakening currency, and the selling of U.S. debt may have been used for intervention purposes to prop it up. So they're putting more of our bonds, old bonds, on the market, which floods the market with American debt, which means it's harder to raise the debt, which means that we have to increase those interest rates that we are giving people in order to get them to buy the debt, which means we're going to have to pay off those new interest rates at a higher rate of interest. Meanwhile, Joe Biden keeps spending into this because he is a moron. Yesterday, President Biden announced student debt forgiveness for another tranche of Americans on Wednesday, months after the Supreme Court blocked the administration's most ambitious borrower relief plans. This is unconstitutional. It's already been declared he can't unilaterally simply get rid of student loan debt. He's doing it anyway because this is what he does. The string of politically advantageous announcements comes thanks to the administration's use of existing programs that allow the government to waive debt for certain borrowers. The moves are separate from the administration's troubled attempt to cancel as much as $20,000 in student debt for any borrower earning less than $125,000 a year struck down by the Supreme Court. Wednesday's announcement of $9 billion in student debt cancellation for 125,000 borrowers, the latest in a string of sizable discharges, helps just a small slice of the more than 40 million people who own debt. But again, this is part of the inflationary policy of this administration, is to basically blow money into the system by relieving debt. The administration is touting those cancellations on the same week most borrowers returned to making payments for the first time since they were paused in March of 2020 as part of the COVID-19 pandemic relief. The piecemeal approach to debt cancellation adds up. The administration has now wiped out $127 billion in student debt, nearly one-third of the projected cost of the failed mass cancellation plan. So the Supreme Court says you can't do it. Joe Biden just finds another way to do it. That's the way this works. Meanwhile, mortgage rates are hitting 7.5%. The real estate market is beginning to tank because, again, there's no one out there to buy up the real estate that's being put on the market. And right now, there's no inventory. It's a weird, sticky situation. You're not going to sell your house to get into an 8% mortgage when you have a 4% mortgage on your house right now. So there's not a lot of inventory. So the prices aren't really dropping because there's not a lot of inventory. But if there were inventory, the prices would be dropping because nobody can afford to buy this stuff. That's going to come unglued at a certain point. At a certain point, people aren't going to be able to make their mortgage on the 4% house. They're not going to be able to pay that, and they're going to be forced to sell the house. And once that starts happening, then you're going to see a real estate crash. Mortgage applications, by the way, are plummeting for just this reason. At the exact same time that all of this is happening, Joe Biden is presiding over massive strikes affecting the American economy. The auto workers' strike has still not been resolved. Meanwhile, Kaiser Permanente is now on strike. This is the largest U.S. healthcare walkout on record. That's just what we need right now in a time of rising cost, is we need all of the healthcare workers walking out. According to the Wall Street Journal, more than 75,000 nurses, pharmacists, and other employees of Kaiser Permanente walked off the job Wednesday in the largest U.S. healthcare strike on record. The workers struck after contracts expired and their unions couldn't reach an agreement with Kaiser on how much a new deal would increase wages and staffing. Kaiser has brought on thousands of temp workers to fill some vacancies. They're starting to postpone appointments. I mean, what a disaster area. Acting U.S. Secretary of Labor Julie Hsu has met with both sides to help resolve the strike and is seeking to move the talks forward to reach a resolution. The strike, which is scheduled to last as long as 3 days, adds hospitals, pharmacies, and clinics to workplaces roiled by labor action this year. Why do you think this is happening? Why is this happening? Well, people say it's the tight labor market. It's not the tight labor market. The tight labor market automatically drives up the price of labor. The reason they're striking is because Joe Biden is in the White House and his entire administration is in hock to the labor unions. That is why they know that the Secretary of Labor is going to jet on in and cram something down on Kaiser. Kaiser, by the way, serves almost 13 million members at 40 hospitals and more than 620 medical offices. The work stoppage involves Kaiser workers in 5 states and Washington, D.C. It's the largest action by healthcare workers since 1993. Kaiser Union said inflation has eroded employee wages. Whose fault is that, Joe Biden's? Staff shortages are burning out workers while compromising the quality of care. Workers are demanding that Kaiser do more to boost hiring and keep workers, such as offering better raises. The cost of living is not matching the current wages. We are losing people. Kaiser said its compensation leads its markets, and the company has already increased hiring. The reason these strikes are happening, again, is because Joe Biden is president of the United States. That is the reason that Joe Biden He is presiding over all of this. He owns this economy. Bidenomics is all of this. It is healthcare strikes. It is UAW strikes. It is a failure to be able to sell American bonds at the rates that are necessary to even be able to sustain our debt. Economic stagnation is the real threat of the Biden administration. I've said this for at least a year and a half at this point. The threat is not inflation. Inflation's bad. Inflation's terrible. The real threat is economic stagnation built off inflation, higher interest rates, regulatory strictness, labor unions. All of that is just sand in the mill. It is sticking up all of the wheels of the economy. And Joe Biden is responsible for every single part of that. We'll get to more on this in just one second. First,
hey everyone, this is Michael Knowles, host of the Michael Knowles Show. If you want just the most condensed, accurate, right of Attila the Hun commentary that there is out there, you've got to tune into the show. Because we don't leave it at just those shallow little platitudes up at the top or the talking points. We don't even just get into the culture or whatever. We go even deeper down to the most fundamental roots of what we believe and what we do. Watch the Michael Knowles Show on Daily Wire Plus or listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
You're listening to The Ben Shapiro Show.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
The official meeting of the Business to Business meeting is called to order. Business to Business, where we always say, make every transaction a win-win-win. Our guest today is Steve Clark from Minuteman Press of Reading.
Today I'd like to talk to you about business cards.
I just get mine from this.
Don't say it. Don't do it. If you're thinking of ordering your business cards online, don't do it. Keep your business local.
But they're cheaper online.
No. Business cards from Minuteman Press of Reading start at just $35, and custom design services start at $29, and you keep your money local.
Hey, that's a win.
Let us at Minuteman Press of Reading take care of your business cards. Rapid turnaround time and priced right. We also do full-service direct mail and promotional products at Minuteman Press of Reading.
Call 221-0400. That's 221-0400.
For Minuteman Press of Reading, where we design, print, and promote you.
221-0400. That's 221-0400.
Minuteman Press of Reading. Call today.
Join us for Simpson University's third annual Red Hawk Run 5K, Saturday, October 21st at 8 a.m. at Simpson University. Open to all ages and ability levels, the 2023 Red Hawk Run 5K benefits Hire Heroes, the most effective military veteran employment nonprofit in the country. Part of Simpson University's jam-packed homecoming weekend, you just can't miss the Red Hawk Run 5K. For more information, visit simpsonu.edu/5K. That's simpsonu.edu/5K.
At Cornerstone Community Bank, you're more than just a customer. You're our friends, neighbors, the local businesses where we shop, and the restaurants where we dine. Your success strengthens our community. Come meet our amazing teams in Reading, Red Bluff, and our newest location in Anderson, and find out why we are more than banking. Cornerstone Community Bank, member FDIC and equal housing lender.
233-33.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Joe Biden is in such serious political trouble that he's starting to just implement Donald Trump's plans right now. According to the Associated Press, the Biden administration announced it waived 26 federal laws in South Texas to allow border wall construction on Wednesday, marking the administration's first use of a sweeping executive power employed often during the Trump presidency. Wait, are you saying now there's a crisis on the border? Are you saying that people are just rushing the border? Are you now saying that maybe it's a good idea to build the wall, Joe Biden? I thought it was really bad. Where's AOC crying at the border? Where is she in her white outfit crying at empty parking lots? Where is she? The Department of Homeland Security posted the announcement on the U.S. Federal Registry with few details outlining the construction in Starr County, Texas, which is a busy Border Patrol sector seeing high illegal entry. According to government data, about 245,000 illegal entries have been recorded so far this fiscal year in just the Rio Grande Valley sector, which contains 21 counties. Alejandro Mayorkas, who should absolutely be impeached, he's not doing his job, he said there's presently an acute and immediate need to construct physical barriers and roads in the vicinity of the border of the United States in order to prevent unlawful entries into the United States in the project areas. I love how far they're going to just not say the word wall. Pretty amazing, right? Construct physical barriers and roads in the vicinity of the border. Do you mean a border wall? Is that what you are trying to say? Starr County's hilly ranchlands, sitting between Zapata and McAllen, Texas, is home to about 65,000 residents. Although no maps were provided in the announcement, CBP announced the project in June and began gathering public comments in August when it shared a map of the additional construction that can add up to 20 miles to the existing border barrier system in the area. So now it is Joe Biden who's building the wall. During the Trump administration, about 450 miles of wall were built along the southwest border between 2017 and January of 2021. Texas Governor Greg Abbott has been doing it himself. The DHS's decision on Wednesday contrasts the Biden administration's posturing when a proclamation to end the construction on January 20, 2021. Quote, building a massive wall that spans the entire southern border is not a serious policy solution. So good to see that Joe Biden has been clocked in the face by reality. Okay, time for some things I like and then some things that I hate. So things that I like. William Lane Craig, I've recommended his books on the program before. He writes a lot about logical proofs of God. Now, I have an entire video in my series Debunked where I talk about plausible logical proofs for God. So I think any of them are dispositive or inarguable. Of course not. I don't think that you can logically prove that there is a God. I do think that you can suggest that there are very logical arguments to suggest a God. I think that you can say that there is a prevalence of the evidence that suggests that there is a God. And again, I actually don't think that most people come to God by being argued into it. With that said, one of the best expositors of these sorts of arguments is William Lane Craig, who's a Christian apologist. He has a great book called The Kalam Cosmological Argument. It's actually based on ancient Islamic sources. It's discussed in Maimonides. The Kalam Cosmological Argument is all about the idea that there is a first cause to the universe. And William Lane Craig gets very detailed in this. This is one of his more sophisticated books. He also has a bunch that are directed at the more general reader. Totally worth the read. William Lane Craig's The Kalam Cosmological Argument. Go check it out today. Okay, time for some things that I hate. So Pope Francis seems wildly unconcerned about human sin, but he's very concerned about climate change. Again, I'm not a Catholic, so I don't have a dog in this fight other than as a member of Western civilization. I think that the Catholic Church moving away from its traditional roots in terms of morality is a massive mistake. That is going to lead to extraordinary societal consequences. Pope Francis is putting outsized impact on what he terms social justice, which is to say redistributionist economics. And then he is adding on to that climate change. And these are like his top priorities. Meanwhile, he's talking about how maybe priests should be able to give blessings to same-sex unions, which, of course, is weird since homosexual activity in the Bible is a sin. And the Catholic Church has always said that. But now Pope Francis is focusing laser-like on climate change. Pope Francis on Wednesday, according to the New York Times, once again implored the world to protect the suffering planet, lamenting in a major new document that scant progress had been made in the 8 years since he refocused the Roman Catholic Church more fully on environmental issues in a landmark treatise that catapulted him to the forefront of climate activism. In the near decade since global fanfare, plaudits from leaders and talk of a game-changing shift for the church greeted Francis' first call to confront climate change, things have only gotten worse. Well, yeah, because as it turns out, you have a massive collective action problem when it comes to climate change. China ain't signing on. India ain't signing on. It is unclear what level of actual mitigation of the amount of carbon moving into the atmosphere would result in what amount of actual lowered climate over time. Those are pretty systemic barriers. Also, you're the Pope. Shouldn't you really be worried a lot about, you know, saving souls and human sin? Shouldn't that be like the biggest thing that you're focused on? While Francis's message remained the same, his voice has faded. Wednesday's document, an apostolic exhortation called Laudate Deum, or Praise God, amounted to a tacit acknowledgement that Francis's initial appeal to save the planet has gone largely unheeded. He says, once and for all, let us put an end to the irresponsible derision that would present this issue as something purely ecological, green, romantic, frequently subject to ridicule by economic interests. Well, I mean, it is green and romantic if you don't actually have a plan to effectuate the thing, or if the plan to effectuate the thing means people in developing countries have to live in abject poverty, or if your idea is let's just wreck the Western economy. None of that stuff's going to happen. Alrighty, folks, we've reached the end of the show. We'll be back here tomorrow with much more. I'm Ben Shapiro. This is The Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Tayshia Stevens. Former President Trump is weighing in on the race for Speaker of the House.
After flirting with the idea of serving as interim House Speaker himself, Trump is officially backing Ohio Congressman Jim Jordan to succeed Kevin McCarthy. In a social media post, the former president described Jordan as a star and offered his complete and total endorsement. Jordan, who is a longtime Trump defender, is one of two leading candidates maneuvering for Speaker, along with Louisiana Congressman Steve Scalise. Greg Clugston, Washington.
Vivek Ramaswamy says protesters upset about his remarks and opposition to aid for Ukraine purposely rammed his car in Iowa in retaliation.
We're walking in, there was a number of protesters, climate, trans, one person for schools. Somebody came and took a picture from me with me posing to be a supporter and then ended up being, you know, against. There was a lot of chaos there, so I didn't see the actual backing ramming of our car.
Prosecutors say they will not file charges against Georgia State troopers who used deadly force against a member of anarchist group Antifa.
The deadly shooting of Manuel Pais Tehran occurred January 18th, touching off protests throughout the Atlanta area. The 26-year-old was part of a Cop City encampment opposing the construction of a massive police and fire training facility in a wooded area. Police fired pepper balls into people's tents. They allege Pais Tehran fired a gun toward them, seriously wounding a trooper. Six officers fired back, killing the protester. I'm Jackie Quinn.
Remnants of a powerful tropical storm are expected to hit northern New England and portions of Canada this weekend. Forecasters say Philippe will be felt from Maine to southern Nova Scotia and New Brunswick. More at townhall.com.
This is Brant along with Sherry here. And so you hear me doing these spots for MediShare, and Sherry actually helps me with them. I get people actually in person saying, okay, Brant, for real, do you recommend this? Like, yeah, for real, I actually do. I'm not just saying stuff. So family, friends ask me about it. I'm like, yes, you should look into this. It's really a great option for a lot of people.
That's what I tell people. My experience has been, MediShare has been fantastic for me.
Yeah.
It's so different from health insurance in a lot of great ways, honestly.
Yeah, and see, a lot of people who switch tell me that. It's the same reaction. They're very, very happy with it, and it gives them peace of mind and saves them a lot of money.
I would tell people, look into it.
Yep. So really, for reals, if you want to talk to them, they're great to talk to. I think you'll be impressed and happy you looked into it. So you do the phone number. I'm actually tired of doing all the phone numbers.
Okay.
Call now.
844-41-BIBLE. That's 844-41-BIBLE. 844-41-BIBLE.
Nice job.
Thanks.
Zimbabwe's government is introducing restrictions to control a cholera outbreak.
Some of the measures introduced to stop the spread of cholera are like an echo of the COVID restrictions. In affected areas, Zimbabweans have been told to limit social gatherings and to avoid shaking hands. No more than 50 people can attend funerals, and no food is to be served. It's not hard to see why cholera is such a problem in the country. On the state-owned Herald newspaper's website is a video filmed in Umbari, in the south of the capital Harare. The headline is Outcry Over Raw Sewage, and it shows rivers of waste meandering between houses.
BBC correspondent Will Ross, a former U.S. Army sergeant, is being indicted on charges of attempting to give classified information to China's security services. Joseph Daniel Schmidt was an active duty soldier between 2015 and 2020, primarily assigned in the state of Washington. News and analysis at townhall.com. Taiwan's economic minister says regulators are investigating four Taiwanese companies suspected of helping China build semiconductor facilities.
The Ministry of Economic Affairs has summoned the semiconductor and factory services suppliers for questioning following the release of a Bloomberg report. It said the companies allegedly were working with Huawei as it builds a network of semiconductor plants despite U.S. sanctions prohibiting such business. The companies provide clean rooms and other services that are crucial for making computer chips.
Correspondent Jeremy House reporting, Americans are split along party lines about whether to get the latest COVID booster. 7 in 10 Democrats say they're likely to get it or already have. Fewer than 3 in 10 Republicans say they will. As of early October, 6% of Americans say they've gotten the shot. Many doctors say at this point COVID is basically the common cold. More on these stories at townhall.com.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
Come join Reading Electric Utility in celebrating Public Power Week on Friday, October 6th. This year's free family event will be held in downtown Reading on the Market Street block. There will be electric safety demonstrations, police and fire demonstrations, and free treats. This event will include energy-efficient raffle prizes, including a new e-bike. Come join the celebration on Friday, October 6th from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. For more information, call 530-339-7300 or visit our Facebook page at Reading Electric Utility.
Today on the Matt Walsh Show, the murder of an Antifa activist in Brooklyn this week has exposed some very ugly things about leftism. We'll discuss that. And an actress comes out to tell her abortion story, but reveals more than she intended to in the process. All of that and more today on the Matt Walsh Show. The other day I talked briefly about the murder of someone named Ryan Carson. He's the 32-year-old Antifa activist who was stabbed to death around 4 a.m. in Brooklyn on Monday. And I said that, among other things, his killing shows the importance of knowing your surroundings and taking proactive steps to protect yourself and your family. Now, leftists can call that whatever they want to call it, stereotyping, racial profiling, white supremacy, whatever. The truth is, it's common sense to get out of a situation when you assess that you are unsafe. And if an agitated young male in a hoodie on a street corner starts kicking mopeds and ranting and raving in front of you, as Ryan Carson's killer did, then you don't stare at him. You don't tell him to chill or shove him several times in the chest, especially when he says, I'll kill you. What you do is you get yourself and your loved ones as far away as you can. If somebody calls you a racist because of that, then that's their problem. Better to be alive and quote-unquote racist than dead and tolerant. Now, over the last 48 hours, though, it's become very clear that the murder of Ryan Carson is about much more than what Ryan Carson did or failed to do at 4 a.m. on Monday morning in Brooklyn. The response to Carson's killing from all corners of the left, from Carson's friends to local politicians to the media, doesn't simply tell us that leftists are hopelessly naive and ignorant of very real threats to their lives. It does tell us that, but it also tells us a lot more, because this is a bigger story than that, it turns out. Now, the response to Ryan Carson's killing also makes it clear that leftists simply don't care about human life or humanity in general. We know that because they're not even going through the motions of demonstrating some pretense of concern for Carson, much less the policies that led directly to his death. And what this means is that leftism is collectivism in every sense and at every level. It views its own adherents not as people, but as replaceable, fungible cogs in the revolution. It uses its own followers as essentially cannon fodder in the culture war. One death is irrelevant. It's collateral damage. Now, we could debate when this began or whether it's always been the case with leftism, but it's impossible to dispute that the left is openly admitting this now. I have more to say about this after this quick break, so don't go anywhere.
These statements and information are for educational purposes only and are not a solicitation for the purchase of any insurance or financial product. All guarantees are based on the claims paying ability of the insurer. Paid for by Bank on Yourself.
Are you putting your retirement savings in a 401k or IRA? Then I have one word of advice. Stop! You've been lied to by the Wall Street fat cats who get paid whether you win or lose. They say risk your life savings in the stock market, but studies show people who follow that advice will outlive their savings by a staggering 10 years. They say max out your contributions to 401ks, but the man who invented the 401k now says it's a monster that should be destroyed. They say defer paying your taxes to retire in a lower tax bracket. But retirees who fell for that lie are paying higher taxes than ever. Now get a free report exposing the wealth-killing lies you've been told and discover the proven retirement plan alternative Wall Street fat cats hope you never hear about. You can get guaranteed competitive growth every year and tax-free retirement income. Get your free report now at bankonyourself.com/future. That's bankonyourself.com/future. bankonyourself.com/future.
Consider the fact that within hours of Ryan Carson's death, his left-wing friends set up a GoFundMe. And that part is not unique. You know, this happens a lot. Somebody dies and next thing you know, there's a GoFundMe. But the thing is that they didn't create this GoFundMe to cover funeral costs or to help Carson's family. Instead, Carson's friends set up a GoFundMe for themselves so that they could skip work, in order to mourn. That's not an exaggeration. It's precisely what they wrote. Here's the pitch on their GoFundMe page. Quote, "We are a collective of Ryan's close friends reeling from a brutal loss. We're asking for your help on behalf of his partner in easing the burden and stress of this horrifying situation so that we can have space and time to grieve and remember Ryan. Immediate needs are to offset the costs of working class people taking time off of work to properly mourn." So they want to take a vacation. They want vacation days, and they want to be paid. They want a paid vacation. And they need to crowdfund for that, crowdfunding some bereavement leave, even though they're not even related to the guy. Like, forget the family, forget the funeral, apparently. Just pay them to sit around and mourn. I mean, think about this. Their friend died. This all happened early Monday morning is when he was killed. So, and the GoFundMe was up very quickly. So their friend died, I mean, brutally, horrifically, stabbed to death in the heart, bleeding to death on a sidewalk, right? And the first thing they think to do is start a GoFundMe to raise funds for themselves, which means that someone in the friend circle had to suggest this almost immediately after he died. Hey, did you hear Ryan was killed? It's awful. You know, we should start a GoFundMe. Oh, for funeral costs? No, for us, so we can take some time off work. And then everyone else apparently agreed to it. It's incredible. But Ryan's comrades didn't stop there, rather. For good measure, they also told media outlets that if he were alive, Ryan would feel bad for his killer. As the Daily Mail reported, quote, "Brooklyn activist Ryan Thorson Carson would feel sorry for the violent teenager who stabbed him to death and think of him as a victim of a broken system, say friends." Unfortunately, Ryan Carson could not be reached for comment on this. And although if we're being completely honest, his friends are probably right. On social media before his death, Carson celebrated violence directed at police officers. He called the torching of a Minneapolis police station, quote, "really good." He cheered when Rush Limbaugh died, saying, quote, "hell yeah." He also threatened an elected official, saying that he wanted to, quote, "shove this little effing nerd in the locker where he belongs." At the same time, Carson pretended to be a compassionate person when he was talking about violent thugs and drug addicts, so he wanted to have constant state-funded access to narcotics. So the criminals who terrorize entire cities are the good guys, according to Ryan Carson. But the talk radio hosts and politicians who disagree with him, on the other hand, well, they deserve to die. Now, as depraved an ideology as that is, this is what resonates on the left now. Carson's friends value that ideology more than the memory of their dead friend. They want to promote the very same policies, defunding the police, legalizing injection sites, putting the mentally ill homeless back on the streets. They want to lean into those policies that got Carson killed in the first place. And that's because they don't care about him. They care about the revolution. Now, you might have heard claims on social media that Carson's girlfriend, who was with him when he was killed, Claudia, there have been reports on social media that she was not cooperative with police in the hours after her boyfriend's death. And we can't confirm that, so I don't know if that's true or not. Certainly, if it's true, it would be in keeping with Claudia's social media posts where she says that all cops are bastards. But here's what we do know. According to the New York Daily News, Claudia somehow mispicked, quote-unquote, mispicked her boyfriend's killer in a lineup. And she's the only eyewitness to the crime. She saw it happen right in front of her from just a few feet away. But she reportedly misidentified the person who did it. Now, without seeing all the people in the lineup, it's hard to make anything out of that. Eyewitnesses are also notoriously unreliable.
But it is another interesting detail to note, all the same. Politicians in New York don't appear to be interested in getting to the bottom of any of this, or making sure that these sort of things don't happen again. Like Carson's friends, they're motivated solely by ideology. So take a look at so-called tributes to Ryan Carson from New York State Senator Julia Salazar, or public advocate Jumaine Williams, or Councilmember Sandy Nurse, or State Senator Jabari Brisport, or State Representative Emily Gallagher. In all of these tributes that have been pouring in, none of them talk exactly about how Carson died, or anything like that. Instead, they all mindlessly tell people to continue practicing his brand of left-wing activism. Salazar, for example, eulogized Carson by talking about the importance of humane drug policy. Williams went on about the need for environmental justice. They're skipping over any form of self-reflection about why Ryan Carson is dead in favor of repeating their talking points. It's like callous and craven doesn't even begin to describe this. Of course, wherever there's callous and craven behavior, there's also the corporate media. And they've also been working overtime to obscure as many facts as possible about this Antifa foot soldier's unfortunate demise. In the hours after Carson's murder, several outlets, including the New York Daily News and New York Post, refused to provide any kind of description for the suspect, even though we could see it on security camera footage, so we all knew some of the basic details of his physical description. The New York Daily News, for example, called the killer a, quote, unhinged stranger. The article later describes the murderer as a belligerent stranger. But there's no mention of any kind of description, even though the article cites police sources who have clearly seen the surveillance footage showing the murder. So this is deliberate. Either the police or the media or Carson's girlfriend decided to hide some of the information. There's no getting around that. I have more to say about this after this quick break, so don't go anywhere.
Diabetes, high blood pressure, anxiety meds, everyone's on them. If you're a 40-year-old male, maybe a bit porky, and you may even have type 2 diabetes, $1 million of term life insurance may only cost you about $100 a month. Call Term Provider. Speak with Big Lou at 800-353-9057. Big Lou will find a term life policy for you even if you have type 2 diabetes, are overweight, or have high blood pressure. Term Provider has helped thousands of people like you who think they can't afford term life insurance. To buy $1 million of affordable term life for you, all you need to do is call Big Lou at 800-353-9057. Lou will make sure the scales are tipped in your favor. Call 800-353-9057. Big Lou will answer your call and work to fit you into a term life policy that you can afford. Remember, Big Lou's like you. He's on meds too. For affordable term life insurance, call 800-353-9057, 800-353-9057, or biglou.com.
I have more to say about this, but we've got to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors. Don't go anywhere.
At Premier Oil Change, you can be assured that our highly trained staff will take great care of you and your vehicle. From your air pressure to your windshield wipers and everything in between, we make it easy for you with our quick, convenient drive-through service. No appointment necessary. You just drive right in. We also perform our comprehensive 30-point certified service. You get to enjoy a free beverage with free Wi-Fi and earn points towards free products and services with Premier Rewards. Use Premier Services to maintain your new car warranty. Now that is a win-win. Drive in today. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com or visit us in Palo Cedro, located in the Holiday Market Shopping Center, or in Redding on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park, or in Anderson across from Round Table Pizza. All three locations, you get a free car wash with every oil change. Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier, your friendly oil change.
The official meeting of the business-to-business meeting is called to order. Business-to-business, where we always say, make every transaction a win-win-win. Our guest today is Steve Clark from Minuteman Press of Reading.
Today I'd like to talk to you about business cards.
Well, I just get mine from this.
Don't say it. Don't do it. If you're thinking of ordering your business cards online, don't do it. Keep your business local.
But they're cheaper online.
No. Business cards from Minuteman Press of Reading start at just $35, and custom design services start at $29, and you keep your money local.
Hey, that's a win.
Let us at Minute Man Press of Reading take care of your business cards. Rapid turnaround time and priced right. We also do full-service direct mail and promotional products at Minute Man Press of Reading.
Call 221-0400. That's 221-0400.
For Minute Man Press of Reading, where we design, print, and promote you.
221-0400. That's 221-0400.
Minute Man Press of Reading. Call today.
Linda Fott. Join me for the first Thursday of every month at 6 p.m. for my show, North State Now. In this one-hour show, we cover what's happening in the music scene, theater, food, and arts. We get in-depth interviews with local business owners, musicians, actors, and authors. Listen in, tune in, call in, participate. Win tickets to concerts and theater productions. It's a lot of fun, and believe me, it keeps us going. Join me, your host, Linda Fott, for North State Now, the first Thursday, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Also streaming at KCNR1460.com.
We're back with the Matt Walsh Show. Somehow, in a development that's unprecedented in New York's storied history of perp walks, yesterday when police arrested the suspect who allegedly stabbed Carson to death on the street, CBS News made the editorial decision to blur the alleged killer's face. They deliberately hid his identity. Watch this.
This is footage of the man police say they were looking for. He has not yet been identified, but we are blurring his face at the moment while charges are pending. We watched again as all of this went down. More than a dozen officers were around when it happened before entering a home here on Lafayette Avenue.
I mean, it's amazing. Like, to be perfectly clear, the suspect that police arrested is an 18-year-old adult by the name of Brian Dowling. There is no conceivable reason to blur his face in this context. The excuse from CBS, which appears to be, well, this adult murder suspect hasn't been formally charged yet, so therefore you don't get to see his face. This has never been used by any major media outlet in the history of this country, as far as we can tell. It's never been used by CBS. Thousands of times they have put footage of people getting arrested on TV, and they have never blurred the face. They certainly didn't do that with Daniel Penny. Daniel Penny didn't kill anyone in cold blood. He's not a murderer. He saved people on a subway car from getting violently attacked. Which, by the way, you remember that in that case, Jordan Neely was going crazy in a subway. Daniel Penny intervened. And we're told that Jordan Neely, he was not a threat to anyone. He wasn't waving a gun around. Well, you see in the case of Ryan Carson, how quickly it goes from belligerent guy screaming to stabbing someone to death. Okay, in the span of seconds, Brian Dowling went from screaming on a street corner to stabbing a man to death. That's how quickly that happens. Did Daniel Penny save people on the subway from the same fate? It's quite possible. And yet, even before Daniel Penny was outrageously charged with any crime, news outlets had no problem putting his face everywhere before he was arrested. What explains the different treatment? Well, of course, Daniel Penny is white and Brian Dowling is black. That shouldn't matter, but when corporate media makes everything about race, it's hard not to notice. And more to the point, Daniel Penny was a law-abiding citizen. He served his country in the Marines. Then he exercised his right of self-defense and his right to defend others around him. So naturally, they want to shame him at every opportunity. Brian Dowling, on the other hand, he did exactly what leftists wanted him to do. If what authorities are saying is true, he contributed nothing to society. Instead, he committed a bunch of crimes, behaved like a lunatic, and terrorized everybody around him. In fact, shortly before he murdered the Antifa activist in Brooklyn, Dowling was allegedly involved in other kinds of incidents. Let's watch this.
What we've learned about 18-year-old Brian Dowling is that there appears to have been a summons from last year for disorderly conduct, and that just a couple months ago, after Dowling was in an argument with his girlfriend at her apartment, he was breaking things, and it actually led to his aunt calling 911 and describing him as emotionally disturbed. There's a lot of thoughts that maybe there's a mental health aspect to it, but certainly it is a brutal murder that happened with this man stabbed to death in front of his own girlfriend.
So instead of throwing Brian Dowling in an asylum where he apparently belonged, leftist policies ensured that he wouldn't spend a day in any kind of institution. The fact he may have killed a leftist is unfortunate in their eyes, but they don't really care. A little bit of friendly fire in their view, but shouldn't distract from their agenda. Now, we've been seeing this a lot lately. The other day, I mentioned the brutal murder of a 26-year-old white left-wing tech CEO in her luxury apartment building in Baltimore. The CEO named Pava LaPere was an avowed leftist. She had BLM propaganda all over her social media feeds. She seemed to really harbor an irrational hatred towards white men. How did she die? Well, she let a black guy she didn't know into her apartment building, and then she got into an elevator with him. The surveillance footage shows all of this. LaPere's mangled dead body was found on the rooftop of her apartment a few days later. Now, if you were covering this story, and pretty much every news station in the Baltimore area has covered it, then you'd think you'd at least want to inform viewers of exactly how LaPere was murdered. But that's not what's happened. So here's one example of local news coverage of LaPere's death. This is from Fox St. Louis, and I want you to notice what is not mentioned here.
We have new developments surrounding the investigation into the woman who was killed inside an apartment complex near Mount Vernon. Well, city police are now saying they found the body of EcoMap CEO Pava LaPere. LaPere inside the complex that was once the historic Congress Hotel. Investigators say there were signs of blunt force trauma. Detectives were originally called to the building after someone reported the 26-year-old missing. Police are asking anyone with information that could help solve this case to contact them.
So a lot of reports are like this. They say that she was killed in her apartment building, but they don't tell you how the killer got inside. And that's a curious omission when you think about it. Because if you really cared about Pava LaPere, or even if you just cared about accuracy in journalism, you'd think that maybe that would be one of the first things you mention. Pava LaPere let this killer into her building. She died because she was too welcoming. She was too trusting. She was too tolerant, too naive. She died because she didn't make stereotypical assumptions. Why not tell that story to the public? Now, the omission is particularly notable given recent history. It wasn't all that long ago that the media told us that unless we allow every random black guy into our apartment buildings, then we're racist and we should lose our job. So here's a story that you almost certainly don't remember. It's from the dark ages of 2018. And that year, a white woman named Hillary Thornton decided to block a black man from entering her apartment building. Hillary had cracked the door to let her dog out. Then an unknown black guy tried to enter the building, and Hillary said that she wouldn't allow him inside. What happened next? Well, the entire national news media branded Hillary Thornton as a racist, and she was fired from her job. Watch.
We are hearing the other side of a story that's making national headlines. A white woman inside a downtown loft building not letting a black man inside Friday night has hit social media and gone viral.
And the woman in the video says he didn't have a key fob to get in and forced his way inside. She reached out to me to tell her side of the story after being called a racist and receiving death threats. It's an exclusive interview you will see only on Fox 2 tonight.
So you're blocking me?
Into my building.
Okay, and it's my building as well, so I need you to get out of my way.
Okay.
This is the viral video of Hillary Thornton trying to stop Darion Toles from entering the Elder Shirt Lofts just off Washington in the city. Thornton wanted people to know her side of what happened.
So when I noticed an individual that I did not know, my only intent was to follow the direction that I had been given by our condo association board members repeatedly, and that is to never allow access to any individual that you do not know.
Thornton showed us several emails from the association stating what residents should do when dealing with a situation like this. Hillary says Darion said he was trying to get into the building as she had the door cracked as her dog went to the bathroom.
And I simply asked if he lived there. Mm-hmm. Because the direction from the condo association is so repeated that if you don't know the person, you do not let them in.
Thornton adds she told him she couldn't let him in, then asked if he had a key fob.
That's the only indicator that any resident has that they live in that building. He would not answer me.
So Hillary Thornton's life was destroyed because she did the right thing. She did what her condo association told her to do. She also did what common sense tells you to do. Pablo Pérez, on the other hand, did what the left and corporate media demanded. And now she's dead because of it. This is becoming more and more common. And with every new tragic example, the responses from the left is always the same. They all want their ideology to win. That's all they care about. People do not matter to them. Every fatality is more evidence that they're right somehow. What they'll never admit is that Ryan Carson and Pablo LePere and many more victims like them have already experienced the inevitable consequences of this suicidal, insane ideology. And precisely for that reason, no one will ever hear from them again. Let's take another break to hear from our sponsors. We'll be right back with more of The Matt Walsh Show.
October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and many organizations are having special Think Pink events to help spread awareness about breast cancer. 1 in 8 women will get breast cancer, but there's a 98% survival rate when discovered and treated early. Think Pink events include a new cornhole tournament, along with their annual 5K walk and run at the Turtle Bay Arboretum Loop Trail. There will also be a car show at the Redding Elks Lodge. And their special Think Pink bag giveaway is happening at Tri-Counties Bank from 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. on Thursday, October 19th, followed by the free 2023 Think Pink Sundial Bridge Resource Fair at Turtle Bay from 5 until 8 p.m. They will also be featuring food, local entertainment, guest speakers, and informational booths. There will also be a free shuttle from the Mount Shasta Mall to the event at the Sundial Bridge from 4:30 until 8:45 in the evening. Once again, October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and now's the time to think pink.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
This is Carl Bott
and Ted Leidy.
We want to invite you to our new show, Man Up, the fourth Thursday of each month, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Man Up, 6 to 7 p.m., where we explore the lost art of being a man.
Spirits, cigars, and hit the ground running when you get up in the morning. That's what Man Up's going to be about.
Oh, don't forget motorcycles, guns, and hard work every day.
And those things that men talk about when women aren't around.
That's right. Even cooking sometimes.
Even cooking sometimes. People, places, and things.
Serving your family, your community, and your country.
Man Up. Fourth Thursday of each month from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on Free Fire Radio.
This is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
Hi, Bob the Drop here. The other day I had a close encounter with my friends from Mars. I visited them a few years back, and they discovered the great taste of Mount Shasta spring water. Well, I guess they ran out, so they came back to Earth to get some more. I reminded them it comes from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta, and it's bottled at the source. I guess they just didn't get the part about us delivering right to your door. Have your own close encounter by calling 1-800-922-6227 to get some of the best tasting water in the galaxy. Pure and simple, naturally, the best. Mount Shasta spring water.
Original Butcher.
And we're back with the Matt Walsh Show. From the Daily Mail says, female job seekers at a Women in Tech conference have reacted with fury after a number of men crashed the networking event, seemingly taking advantage of the acceptance of non-binary people. The scandal erupted at the Grace Hopper Celebration of Women in Computing in Orlando, Florida, which is among the most lucrative job-finding conventions for young female professionals to meet major tech firms, often right out of college. This year's summit, held from September 26th to 29th, was swarmed with men also looking to land a big interview with firms including Amazon, Apple, and Google. The reason many were welcomed appeared to be the women's event allowing non-binary individuals to also attend, sparking anger among women, feeling the move was a shameless attempt to take advantage of gender diversity programs. Furious attendees took to social media to slam the men for gate-crashing the women's event. However, some pointed the finger at vague benchmarks for entering the summit, as men could simply identify as non-binary. So there's a lot of outrage about this on the Internet. It was all quite hilarious. Here's a report from an outlet called Catch Up News, which shows us some of the women who are not so pleased about this.
Career conference for females in tech was taken over by male attendees.
They were there just purely for the career fair.
Social media clips filmed at the Grace Hopper, the world's largest gathering of women technologists, show men standing in line to meet with recruiters.
This is a space for women in tech. This is one of those few limited resources that isn't for you, it's for us.
Some of the male attendees reportedly lied about being non-binary just to get in.
But it's interesting that the large majority of the people that actually ended up in the event had name tags with he, him, and have no searchable history of identifying as non-binary.
Several tech workers defended the men for trying to capitalize on job opportunities not meant for them, seeing that the entire concept was wrong.
Let's be honest, there is no need for a conference just for women, because if it was the opposite, just for men, then it would be sexist. Just because you are a woman doesn't give you the right to talk to a big firm recruiter. Guys work just as hard, and they don't get that chance.
No searchable history of identifying as non-binary. What do you mean, searchable history? Have you been identifying every single one of these guys, or not guys? They don't identify as guys. Have you been identifying every single one of these they/thems, and then going online to search to find out exactly when they started identifying as non-binary? If you are, then you're a creep, but also, that's highly bigoted, because first of all, if someone decided this morning that they're non-binary, that is a totally valid identity. And also, there's no rules in the non-binary rule book, last I checked, that says that if you're non-binary, you have to go by they/them pronouns. You go by he/him pronouns. You could go by any pronoun. You could use no pronouns. You could make up a pronoun. These are the rules. The rules are that there are no rules. And listen, you know, they have the left over a barrel on this one. There's really nothing you can say. You invented this non-binary idea. You intentionally made it incoherent, ambiguous, totally impossible to define, arbitrary. You're the ones who declared that being non-binary or being trans carries with it no standards or requirements of any kind. Let me ask you this. How many tech CEOs are non-binary? I mean, there's probably a lot at this point, to be fair, but you know, not enough, not nearly enough. And so these brave souls show up to this conference, living their truth. For many of them, you know what? It probably is the first time that they live their truth openly at a career conference. Think about the courage that required. And they do that, and then this is the response that they get from these bigoted liberal women. I am shocked. I am appalled. But all I can say to these men is, or former men, or whatever they want to be called. You know what? Here's the thing. It's possible that they still identify as men, that they still go by he, him pronouns, they still dress like men, everything is the same, like everything is the same, and yet they're also non-binary. That's valid. So to these men, if that's what they identify as, I can only just extend my heartfelt admiration. And I also very much encourage other men who randomly identify as non-binary to invade any conference, you know, like this, giving the left a chance to, you know, experience the full implications of their own ideology. I think it's a good opportunity. It's an opportunity for them to experience. And you know something too? Many of these women at this conference, for the first time in years, they suddenly discovered what the word woman means. And so maybe that is the great service that these men or former men provided to these women. Just by showing up, by simply showing up, all of these liberal women in tech all together discovered what the word woman means. I have more to say about this after this quick break, so don't go anywhere.
Diabetes, high blood pressure, anxiety meds, everyone's on them. If you're a 40-year-old male, maybe a bit porky, and you may even have type 2 diabetes, $1 million of term life insurance may only cost you about $100 a month. Call Term Provider. Speak with Big Lou at 800-353-9057. Big Lou will find a term life policy for you even if you have type 2 diabetes, are overweight, or have high blood pressure. Term Provider has helped thousands of people like you who think they can't afford term life insurance. To buy $1 million of affordable term life for you, all you need to do is call Big Lou at 800-353-9057. Lou will make sure the scales are tipped in your favor. Call 800-353-9057. Big Lou will answer your call and work to fit you into a term life policy that you can afford. Remember, Big Lou's like you. He's on meds too. For affordable term life insurance, call 800-353-9057, 800-353-9057, or biglou.com.
NBC News, speaking of brave, they've been doing a series of reports about slavery, which I'm not sure if you ever heard about slavery, but that was a thing that happened in this country a long time ago. And NBC News has decided that now's the time that they really need to do a deep dive exploration of slavery and who is descended from slaves and who's descended from slave owners. And their most recent report on this topic has gotten a lot of attention, most of it negative. Let's watch some of this.
We have a follow-up tonight to a story we first brought you over the summer. In June, Reuters revealed that many of America's political leaders are descended from slaveholders. Tonight, Blaine Alexander brings us more with a woman stunned to learn the history one of those lawmakers has with her own family.
In the sprawling fields of rural Tennessee, where thousands of black Americans were once enslaved, Lucretia Johnson Flash feels living history.
My people are buried here.
As head of diversity and inclusion at a college, she has spent years working against slavery's lasting impact. Today, a typical white family in the U.S. is 8 times wealthier than a typical black family.
The dynamics are still very much present with us.
A recent investigation by Reuters found 5 living U.S. presidents and at least 100 members of the last Congress are all direct descendants of slaveholders.
What does that say to you about the legacy of slavery in this country?
It says that power is passed down intergenerationally. It's not to demonize anyone for the past, but things get passed down.
Through the Reuters investigation, Lucretia discovered her ancestors were enslaved by families whose direct descendant is Republican Congressman Brett Guthrie of Kentucky. NBC News made repeated attempts to speak with the congressman. He did not respond.
Okay, pause for a second. NBC News made repeated attempts to talk to the congressman about a distant relative who lived 200 years ago and owned slaves. And shockingly, this congressman was not didn't think that was an urgent matter that needed to be addressed. I don't know anything about this guy, this congressman, but I can't imagine that even for politicians, they've got plenty of other things going on in their lives that are more important than that. And I also think just to rewind, watch a little bit more of this for whatever reason, but just to rewind a little bit, you know, we're being told that, well, why is this important? Why do we need to still be talking about slavery 150, 200 years later? You know, something that happened, an evil from centuries ago. Why do we need to talk about it now? And she says it's because of power being passed down through the generations, which even if that is true, that you can look at some people today and where they are today and trace it back to slavery. And if you were to rewind the clock and if their ancestors were never enslaved, they'd be in a different position. As I've talked about before, that doesn't necessarily mean they'd be in a better position. But yeah, if you were to change anything that far back in the past, it's going to change where you are today. It also might mean that you don't even exist today, as we've discussed. I think it's funny they put up on the screen there, the wealth, the wealth gap between, you know, white Americans and black Americans. You know, they only show white Americans and black Americans. You know, they don't, it's sort of conspicuous that they don't put other groups up there, because if they were to do that, they would say, yeah, well, white Americans on average are this much wealthier than black Americans on average. But you know who's at the top of that financial socioeconomic pecking order? Asians. The Asian Americans are at the very top. And if everything's explained by the legacy of slavery, how does that fit in? And they always leave the Asians out of the conversation because it doesn't work. It doesn't fit in with their equation, especially when you consider that Asians also have a claim to forms of historical persecution. There were Asians much more recently than slavery era getting rounded up in internment camps. And yet they are, as a group, succeeding even more than white Americans are. And why is that? Well, it's very simple. Because their divorce rates are relatively low. Their out-of-wedlock birth rate is relatively low. I'll say comparatively low. These rates are comparatively low. And their families stick together, for the most part, and they value education. That's it. I mean, there are other things, too, but that's pretty much it. They get married, then they have babies, they stay married, and they make sure that their kids get educated. That's it. That is the whole equation. If you do that, you're going to succeed collectively. If you don't do that, you're going to fail. And there's no reason why a history of slavery 150, 200 years ago would prevent you today. It's very simple. The path to collective success is, it turns out, very, very simple. I have more to say about this after this quick break, so don't go anywhere.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So, while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
4 out of 5 employers who post a job in ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. ZipRecruiter. The smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. Just go to this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free.
We'll take another break to hear from our sponsors. We'll be right back with more of The Matt Walsh Show.
Turtle Bay's Harvest in the Gardens is Saturday, October 7th, featuring a hay maze, animals, live music, a mini farmer's market, pumpkin painting, and more. Harvest in the Gardens, Saturday, October 7th. Tickets and info at turtlebay.org.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
Now at Black Bear Diner, enjoy four new buttermilk biscuit creations. So huge, so monumental, you're going to need a fork and knife to enjoy them. Each featuring our enormous, baked, fresh in our kitchen every day buttermilk biscuits. The baby burn chicken fried steak, the savory tri-tip benedict, the hot honey crispy chicken, the colossal breakfast club. So get to Black Bear Diner today and grab your fork and knife for a limited time only.
Black Bear Diner.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
Turtle Bay's 17th annual fall plant sale is taking place Saturday, October 7th, featuring California natives and drought-tolerant plants propagated on-site for our region. Turtle Bay's fall plant sale, Saturday, October 7th. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Full term.
And we're back with the Matt Walsh Show. Today for our daily cancellation, we turn to the actress Kerry Washington, who has published an excerpt from her upcoming memoir in Time magazine. And as you've noticed, the bar for memoirs has been severely lowered in recent years. It used to be that there were two basic requirements for writing a memoir. First, you have to have led an incredibly interesting life to write a memoir. And second, you have to be a great writer. Memoirs are things that exist for fascinating writers who've lived fascinating lives. And there are very few people who fall into either category, and fewer still who fall into both categories. That's the point. It's a very rare person who is worthy of a memoir. But that's all changed. And in fact, it's been flipped completely on its head. And now, in most cases, memoirs are written only by the worst writers who have lived the most boring lives. They're written by someone like Kerry Washington, a run-of-the-mill actress who starred in a bunch of mediocre network TV shows. How can she justify a memoir? What can she possibly have to say about her life that's worthy of a memoir? What important experiences has she had? Well, in her Time magazine piece, she tells us about one. She had an abortion. So she may not have done anything interesting or incredibly instructive with her life, or constructive, but she did kill her baby. And that story really needs to be told, she thinks. So reading out, it says, "In my late 20s, I made the difficult and very private decision to have an abortion. About a decade later, I played a character that was the first woman to be shown undergoing an abortion procedure on network television. As women, it is our right to choose what happens to our bodies, our lives, and our futures. It's also up to us to decide when, how, and with whom we share our stories. The reality is that abortion is a very real and normal part of women's lives. I share the story of my abortion procedure here because our right to make choices about our bodies and our lives is under attack, both culturally and legislatively. This is my story. I am one of many, and we will not be silenced." Now, one thing you notice about liberal women is that they never shut up, but they're always claiming that they're being silenced, especially when it comes to their abortion stories. Before we read any more of Kerry Washington's personal and private abortion story, we already know everything it will say, because it's always the same script. And that's because evil is not very innovative. It tends to repeat itself. Continuing, it was January in New York City. I'll never forget how cold it was that morning. I was grateful for the need of additional layers, not only to keep me warm, but also to hide and cocoon myself away from the reality of the procedure I was about to undergo. Let's stop there for a moment. Carrie, you say you wanted to hide from the reality of the procedure you were about to undergo. Why? If abortion is a legitimate medical procedure, and if it's not, in fact, the murder of a human child, then why do you need to hide from its reality? What is it about abortion that made you want to hide? If you actually were to explore that question in an honest and introspective way, then your abortion story might have a chance to be the first of its kind to have any value whatsoever. But of course, you don't explore that question. You say, I wanted to hide from the reality. Never explaining why. What is it about the reality that you want to hide from? What's so upsetting about it? Never explaining. Skip right over it. And we move on to this. Continuing, I sat in the waiting room and completed the paperwork with false information, a made-up name, a pretend address, a non-existent email. Only the phone number was my own, should the office need to reach me in case of an emergency. Let me stop there again. In what other context can you go in for a surgical procedure and get away with providing completely false information? They never asked for your ID. They never verified anything about your identity. They never even verified your age. So we're constantly told about the invisible hurdles that women have to jump over to obtain abortions, but this makes it clear that the hurdles are significantly lower than they are for any actually legitimate medical procedure. Moving on, it says, when the nurse called my false name, I followed her into a small office. She proceeded to ask me questions that she was required to ask by the state to help me make sure that this was the right choice for me and my family, quote unquote. My body felt hot with shame. As a teen, I performed with a health education theater company, and I had spent years on the other side of a version of that conversation asking young people to consider their options and weigh the consequences. I was schooled and schooled others in the ways of prevention and the language of sexual empowerment. But in my own life, I had committed the crime that seemed unimaginable to me back then. I had let the heat of the moment dictate choices that would impact me for a lifetime. Why hadn't I protected myself? Why hadn't I the courage to create boundaries around my womb? Why had I silenced the preferences in the name of people pleasing? This all could have been avoided. If I had spoken up for myself in that moment, I wouldn't have found myself in that office. But there I was, surrendering my insides to a surgical vacuum, trying to repair the damage born of my silence and need to be loved. First of all, for anyone listening to this, you may have experienced challenges in your life. You may have suffered in many ways. But look on the bright side. At least you were never subjected to performances by Kerry Washington's health education theater company. Second, notice the passive tone that Kerry adopts here. She chose to have sex outside of marriage at a time when she felt she was unprepared to have children, and it led to predictable results. In fact, her sexual experience had the same result that literally billions and billions of other sexual experiences have had. How could this have happened? Well, I could tell you how it happened. I mean, you're the one who was in a health education theater company. I think you should probably know. Reading a little more, she says, later, as I lay on the medical bed with my feet in stirrups, the doctor described her plans for the termination, the instrument she would be using, and what it might feel like at different stages along the way. I had been to several gynecological appointments through the years, but never one so transactional. Today, I'd come to this office for a particular result and required a definitive outcome. When I left, I would be a changed woman without the burden of new life, but perhaps with a bit more time to understand and define my own. As the doctor opened my cervix and inserted the thin vacuum tube, the nurse looked down at me, smiled, and very gently said, "Do you know who you look like?" I think she was trying to comfort me, to tell me that even though this moment was incredibly difficult, she could see the beauty in me, could see that I reminded her of a movie star. She said my real name. I could hear it under the muffled sound of the water in which I was drowning. Kerry Washington. It was my name, but the version she was calling out had nothing to do with me. And so in that moment, I didn't know who I was. We probably read enough at this point. Two other quick points, though. First, as predicted, the writing here is just absolutely atrocious. She is laboring to make the whole experience sound profound and poetic and beautiful, but finds herself hamstrung by the fact that she is a shallow midwit actress who has never had a profound thought in her entire life. More importantly, we have this sentence, where she says, when I left, I'd be a changed woman without the burden of new life, but perhaps with a bit more time to understand and define my own. And that's the whole story right there. I mean, that's the part that really matters. Because this is what abortion is in the vast majority of instances. Kerry Washington was not a poor, desperate woman getting an abortion because she felt she had no choice. Now, it still would not have been justified even in that case, but that is not the case here. She simply just didn't want to deal with a baby. She didn't feel like having a baby, so she's killing it. So she is willfully and admittedly destroying human life for the most frivolous reason imaginable. She's killing her own child, and all that she can offer to defend that decision is some meaningless self-actualization jargon. In other words, she is simply a terrible human being. That's the real moral of the story. It's the one thing we learn from her otherwise pointless and dull memoir. And it's why Kerry Washington is today canceled. That'll do it for the show today and this week. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. Talk to you next week.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Tayshia Stevens. A meeting between President Biden and Chinese President Xi Jinping could be in the works.
The president could potentially meet with Xi Jinping on the sidelines of next month's Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation Summit in San Francisco.
There is no such meeting set up, but it is a possibility.
U.S. relations with Beijing have been strained in recent years, and the two leaders have not spoken since their meeting last November at the G20 summit in Indonesia.
Greg Clugston reporting. Former President Trump is endorsing Republican Congressman Jim Jordan as the next House Speaker. Edwin Mora explains.
Trump threw his support behind House Judiciary Committee Chairman Jordan, one of the former president's top defenders, to succeed Kevin McCarthy as House Speaker, calling him a star on social media. The announcement came in the wee hours of Friday, soon after Trump said he would be open to serve as interim leader himself, absent a GOP decision on a successor. Jordan and House Majority Leader Steve Scalise from Louisiana were the first to announce their candidacy.
Kevin McCarthy's denying reports that he plans to resign from Congress. He says he plans to serve until the end of next year and then run for re-election because he says he wants to help Republicans expand the majority in the chamber. McCarthy suffered a historic defeat earlier in the week when he was ousted by a small group of conservatives and House Democrats. Democratic presidential candidate Robert F. Kennedy Jr. says he has a major announcement on the way. Last month, he released a video saying he'll travel to Philadelphia October 9th to make a speech at the birthplace of our nation. The news is fueling speculation that he may decide to run for president as an independent candidate. The leader of the United Auto Workers Union says General Motors has made progress at the bargaining table. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The fact of pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
The nation's employers added 336,000 jobs last month, up from 227,000 in August. Meanwhile, Heritage Foundation public finance economist E.J. Antony says there are troubling signs.
If you look at, for example, those not in the labor force, a lot of this has to do with the explosion of people who are on disability now. Instead of being at 95 million and trending down, we're now up about at 100 million.
Students on Roanoke College's women's swim team in Virginia speaking out against men competing in women's sports. This fall, a guy asked for permission to join the team, and according to the college, he competed on the men's swim team in 2021 as a first-year student, then took a year off from competition before returning to the sport this fall. The swimmer in question has since withdrawn his request to join the team. News and analysis at townhall.com. Britain's Labour political party defeats the Scottish National Party.
Labour always fancied its chances in this by-election, coming as it did after the removal of the former SNP MP Margaret Ferrier because she broke COVID laws. But even they were probably not anticipating the scale of their success. A swing of more than 20%, more than twice the votes of the SNP candidate. Keir Starmer described it as historic. The leader of Scottish Labour, Anna Sawar, said they had flipped Scottish politics on its head.
Americans are split along party lines on whether to get the latest COVID shot. 7 in 10 Democrats say they're likely to get it or already have. Fewer than 3 in 10 Republicans say they will. As of early October, 6% of Americans said they've already gotten the shot. Many doctors say at this point COVID is basically the common cold. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Turtle Bay's Harvest in the Gardens is Saturday, October 7th, featuring a hay maze, animals, live music, a mini farmer's market, pumpkin painting, and more. Harvest in the Gardens, Saturday, October 7th. Tickets at info@turtlebay.org.
It's never too late to start at Shasta College. Late start classes and 8-week compressed classes are still available. To learn more about upskilling or reskilling for a current job or career, information is online at shastacollege.edu or call one of our counselors to see how easy it is to get enrolled at 530-242-7650. Shasta College offers in-person, hybrid, and online class options to fit your busy life and responsibilities. Financial aid is available. More at shastacollege.edu.
Turtle Bay's 17th annual fall plant sale is taking place Saturday, October 7th, featuring California natives and drought-tolerant plants propagated on-site for our region. Turtle Bay's fall plant sale, Saturday, October 7th. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Some news from Washington. After biting multiple staffers and Secret Service agents, President Biden's dog, Commander, has been removed from the White House. On the bright side, Commander got to split an Uber to the airport with Kevin McCarthy. So it's kind of not bad.
Does that mean that their 25 writers are back from the strike writing those hilarious jokes again? And then Joe Biden dragged the dog out in the backyard and shot it in the head. You know. He's a dog lover from way back. The Democrat Party propaganda machine. It's everywhere. It's everywhere. It's inescapable. It's information dominance. They own the battlefield, the propaganda battlefield. Womp, womp, womp. Well, happy Friday, and welcome back. We're, of course, at 888-630-9625. New York, Chicago, Los Angeles. Madness. Democrat Party madness. From the crime and the mayhem and the looting and the shootings to transgenderizing of four-year-olds, as in Los Angeles, the Los Angeles Unified School District. It's unified, and they're unified in grooming little children, little tiny children. They love the children and the sex. They are they're not well. They're the Democrat Party. So I've got some of that for you today, and we even hope to get to a couple of things today that we were unable to get to yesterday because the Democrats gave me too much crazy yesterday. Way too much crazy. And Joe Biden and Alejandro Mayorkas with the border wall. This is quite the fiasco, I gotta tell you. It makes the throwing Kevin McCarthy out as Speaker of the House and the Republican Party fighting over who's gonna be the new Speaker, makes that all look orderly and neat. Because yesterday did Joe Biden literally fall down a flight of stairs? Because the administration fell down a flight of stairs. Alejandro Mayorkas, did you see him sweating? Mayorkas, he was sweating like he was being interrogated by the North Koreans. when he came out to make a statement yesterday, and I kind of felt bad for him, but only for a moment. Then I got over it. While he lied to us again about this, oh, no, we've got to. We can't. We have no choice but to build a wall because the mean Republicans are so terrible, and they said mean stuff to us. So we got that. It's completely nuts there. Alejandro Mayorkas put out this statement. We need a border wall now urgently. It's needed more than ever, but only for 20 miles of the border. And that's pretty amazing. And then Joe Biden and Cringe, you know, Cringe was out there yesterday. And why do you think they call her Cringe? I call her Cringe, but some other people started calling her Cringe. It's a good name for her. She should be called Cringe. She makes everyone cringe. Her parents cringe when they watch her briefing at the White House. It's embarrassing for everyone. Got Raggedy Ann up there telling these fanciful tales. I'll just call them fanciful tales. Extraordinary stuff. And like, well, the Republicans are mean on Capitol and they won't let us not build a wall or something like that. And Joe Biden was asked about it, and before he passed out and started snoring, he said something ridiculous about how, well, it was appropriated in 2019. This is their lie, and they're sticking to it. And all the Democrats on TV are sticking to this ridiculous, fatuous lie. The Republicans appropriated the money in 2019, and we can't spend it on anything else, like crack and hookers. What would you spend it on otherwise? And really, like, you guys suddenly, it's because it's the law, but you've got to break, 24 laws to follow this law, environmental laws, and they're going to kill the snail darter or something, and bulldoze Nirvana, and it's amazing stuff. So they're going to break 24 laws, and Peter Ducey started to ask yesterday in the White House briefing, oh, you want us to break the law? Cringe was saying to Peter Ducey. No, I'm asking you a question about what you're doing, and you're obviously incapable of answering it. And speaking of obeying the law, didn't you just completely ignore the Supreme Court the other day when you added $9 billion more to your Democrat Party criminal walking around money to pay off student debt, which the Supreme Court said is unconstitutional? And you did that earlier this week, and now you say you can't ignore the law because you have to build 20 miles of border wall with the money that was appropriated in 2019. But in order to do that, you've got to break 24 other laws. What do you want us to do, break the law? Well, that would be an everyday activity for you miscreants. I'll give you that much. I heard someone on the television yesterday use the term miscreants, and I thought, do you think that he listens to my radio show? That's what I thought. So Biden says he had to use Trump-era funds for border wall. Sure. Then he was asked if the barriers work and the walls work, and he said no. So he wants to spend billions of dollars believing that it won't work because he's very severely brain damaged. You know his brain? She's a no good. That brain of his, she's a no good. She no work like she's supposed to. That's a no good. So, Biden, the Associated Press, no less. Biden says he had to use Trump-era funds for the border wall, asked if barriers work. He says no. And if that makes sense to you, then you're definitely a Democrat. And, you know, did you see, speaking of Democrats, you see the guy that was murdered? You've maybe seen the video, maybe seen an edited or blurred out version of the video where a man in Brooklyn, New York, walking along with his gal pal, and a Democrat came up and started harassing him. And when says, like, just saying, chill, chill. And then a murderer guy, a Democrat, stabbed him in the neck with a big knife and murdered him. And he dropped and bled out in no time at all because he was murdered by this Democrat out on the sidewalk in Brooklyn, New York, where people go to be murdered because of all the Democrats there. Well, I've got an update on that story because it's completely crazy. It turns out this guy and his girlfriend were cop-hating, Rush Limbaugh-hating, defund the police, Antifa, left-wing radicals. And so there's been a lot of discussion about this guy being murdered. And they've captured the murderer. He's an 18-year-old Democrat. And he's in custody. And the Democrats will probably try to cut him loose, so to speak, so he can kill again. And his radical left girlfriend, who was there and witnessed her alleged boyfriend being stabbed in the neck and murdered and dropping to the ground and dying right in front of her. would not cooperate with the police, would not provide a description of the murderer because, why, Michael? Because the murderer is black. She's white, and the murder victim is white. But the white left-wing liberal would not cooperate with the police on the matter of the murder of her boyfriend right in front of her, stabbed in the neck, bleeding like a stuck pig, and died right there in front of her. And she won't cooperate because, you know, off the pigs, man, and because the murderer is black, an 18-year-old young black man who murdered this guy for walking down the sidewalk, and she wouldn't cooperate because she's a Democrat, right? And they love murder and murderers. Even when her, you know, maybe they were on the brink of breakup or something like that, but amazing stuff. Also, back to Joe Biden and the wall. Biden sells, but you remember this? Just weeks ago, we were talking about this. Biden was selling sections of the border wall that were left out in the desert to rot because Democrats, and it was all under construction when Joe Biden came into office, and they brought all that to a screeching halt because we've got to learn to speak Spanish and join MS-13 and the Sinaloa cartel and then die of fentanyl overdoses because the Democrats are in charge. But just a couple of weeks ago, Biden sells border wall parts to thwart GOP push to use them. And then yesterday, oh, we absolutely need a border wall in the morning. And in the afternoon, the Republicans made us do it in the afternoon. And then in the evening, we don't know what the hell we're doing. And nobody knows what they're doing because they're a demolition derby of anti-intellectual clash of ideas and thoughts. They're just amazing. Mm-mm-mm. And Mark Thiessen in the Washington Post today writes, Biden's border disaster is hurting Ukraine. So that's how you get people to care. Who cares about the United States, America, but is it hurting Ukraine? Pretty amazing stuff. Yeah, and when you hear about this murder in New York that murdered the Antifa cop-hating, Rush Limbaugh-hating lefty for walking down the street in Brooklyn, the murderer, of course, has a history of violence, of violent crime. He's a Democrat. He's a criminal. He's violent. And he has a history of just being a classic, hating, violence-loving lefty, attacking Rush Limbaugh upon the occasion of his death, attacking the cops. And then, you know, I guess he created the environment in which he lived and died. He was a major contributing factor. Also, yesterday I shared with you the story of a CVS drugstore pharmacy in Washington, D.C. on 14th Street, Columbia Heights neighborhood, which has been looted so many times. It's a regular daily feature. Gangs of Democrats come in and steal everything. And were they chanting, yes, yes, I'm a Democrat, something like that? They don't have to. You can see it. But there is more on that because the empty store shelves, that store is just going to close down. If I were the head of CVS, I'd close it right now and board it up and leave it looking like an abandoned building just to make a point to other cities where we have stores. But this is there's an update on that because, well, the news media was back on the case with the CVS store last night. Quite fascinating. And as for Joe Biden's border control, Customs and Border Protection found 310 pounds of methamphetamine in one truck at the U.S.-Mexico border. And the Democrats want to wave that in so more Americans will die because they like death. They love death more than we love life. It's your Democrat Party. Amazing party that it is. Speaking of the illegals, you know, we got the mayor of New York is taking an all-expense-paid first-class trip to Latin American countries that my best girl and I have gone to on vacation to talk about how terrible it is. And it is, it's an amazing thing. But in Chicago, now they are taking away the kids' football field, the athletic field, the public parks, to put in Bidenvilles, you know, tent cities where illegals will be housed by the millions, the hundreds of millions, I think, because of the Democrats' open borders. Not really hundreds of millions. It is. I was thinking about this. You know, you got 8 million. What is the population of Uruguay or Paraguay? What is the population of some of these countries down there, because I think the, you know, the equivalent of the entire population of certain Latin American countries that already flowed into the United States under Joe Biden. And then, you know, you're a racist if you think about it, if you have any questions about it. But in Chicago, the youth football players protest getting booted from field to make room for illegal aliens to set up a tent city on their field. Isn't that how we keep kids out of crime and keep kids from getting in trouble by having athletic fields and programs? They love programs, the left. And now they're taking away their athletic fields to make room for the illegal aliens. And they're upset that they, hey, wait a minute, maybe we need to talk about this, Chicago alderman on the television today. Maybe we need to talk about this sanctuary city thing. Maybe this wasn't such a good idea after all, because, you know, now their chickens are coming home to roost, as Barack Obama's spiritual guidepost, the Reverend Jeremiah Wright in Chicago, said after the radical Islamic jihadis attacked us on September 11th, 2001. Remember, he said that was America's chickens coming home to roost. That's Barack Obama's view, too. That's his fellow. Hillary Clinton says that Republicans need formal deprogramming because MAGA cult members, this is, they really, got to keep in mind, they're the party of civil war and the Confederate States of America. That's the Democrat Party. Angry lefties attack Vivek Ramaswamy in Iowa, of all places, because the Democrats have infected everything. I think they have monkeypox there now. Thanks to the Democrats as well. President Trump endorses Jim Jordan for Speaker of the House. That's a major development. The Biden administration will slash U.S. Army Special Operations Forces because they're not on our side. And I got an update on the that Wagner Group guy that Vladimir Putin killed, Yevgeny Prigozhin. Got a... you know, surprise, surprise update on that coming up as well. We're at 888-630-9625.
There's only one Chris Plant. The Chris Plant Show.
Paid for by Christian Care Ministry.
Let's see, if something costs less, but people are happier with it, that sounds like something to look into, and that is MediShare. Maybe you've heard switching to MediShare to pay for healthcare can save many families up to $500 a month, and that is huge. But it's also true that people are way more satisfied after making the switch, too. The member satisfaction rate for MediShare is double that of the typical health insurance plan. Double. MediShare works, too. It's been around for 30 years. Members have shared more than $5 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth and a huge nationwide PPO network. So, yeah, really, you can save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your health care. So if you're self-employed or part of the gig economy or you just want a plan you're happy with, you can call right now. You'll get a price within 2 minutes. So see what you can save. This is a very, very smart use of 2 minutes. Here's the number you need. Call 855-51-BIBLE. That's 855-51-BIBLE, 855-51-BIBLE.
Bring smiles to all when shopping online with Dell Technologies Gift Guide. Whether it's for the artist, the entrepreneur, the student, or the streamer, you'll find the perfect gift for everyone on your list. Dell.com/giftguide makes gifting easy with a carefully curated selection of our best tech. Shop now to explore our innovative PCs like the XPS 13 laptop, powered by the latest Intel Core processors, plus this season's top accessories. Visit Dell.com/giftguide today to get a jump on your holiday gift list. That's Dell.com/giftguide.
Jim Gaffigan here with some more Straight Talk. Now you can get a Walmart Plus membership, plus not pay for it, because it's included with Straight Talk wireless plans. You get free delivery with Walmart Plus, plus a Paramount Plus subscription included. Plus, you pay less for gas. That's a lot of pluses.
Only Straight Talk gives you unlimited 5G data and Walmart Plus included on select plans for free.
Straight Talk Wireless, available at Walmart.
Requires service on Gold or Platinum Unlimited. One offer per eligible account. Paramount Plus Essential Plan only. Separate registration required. Additional terms apply.
We all hear the radio ads about the IRS. They tell you to be afraid, to be scared, and they try to frighten you into calling.
I'm not here to do that. Tax Relief Advocates is different. TRA is here to tell you that if you owe money to the IRS, whether it's $5,000, $50,000, or $500,000, we have a solution. It doesn't matter if you're sitting in your car, at work, or with your kids, no matter where you are, call now. 800-575-6436. Don't lose hope. TRA can eliminate or reduce what you owe to the IRS. There is zero risk to you. If we can't reduce your tax debt, then you pay nothing. Our passion is taxes and helping individuals fix their IRS problems. We have a 5-star rating on Google and Yelp and an A+ with the Better Business Bureau. You don't need to be afraid of the IRS any longer. End your tax nightmare today by visiting us online at TRA.com or call 800-575-6436. That's 800-575-6436. Tax Relief Advocates. Real solutions for real people.
Imagine 36 hours of football, fireworks, soccer, volleyball, baseball, basketball, barbecue, bounce houses, a charity 5K, and a world-renowned illusionist. It's not a trick. It's Simpson University's homecoming weekend. But the real key to making this weekend great, that's you. Join us and all your closest friends October 20th through the 22nd for Simpson University's homecoming weekend. Check it out at simpsonu.edu/homecoming. That's simpsonu.edu/homecoming.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
Now at Black Bear Diner, enjoy 4 new buttermilk biscuit creations. So huge, so monumental, you're going to need a fork and knife to enjoy them. Each featuring our enormous, baked, fresh in our kitchen every day buttermilk biscuits. The baby burn chicken fried steak, the savory tri-tip benedict, the hot honey crispy chicken, the colossal breakfast club. So get to Black Bear Diner today and grab your fork and knife for a limited time only.
Black Bear Diner.
Yeah, in Chicago, the Democrats are going crazy because the illegal aliens that the Democrats have inflicted on... And I got to tell you, moving the illegals from Texas to New York and Chicago and Martha's Vineyard, key to this whole discussion, key to everything. Now they're all freaked out and panicked, having hissy fit. They're changing genders. It's great. That's what they do when they have a hissy fit. Let's go to the telephones, Michael. And I will update you on all of these matters throughout the morning on our limited 3-hour window. I really need more. Let's go to Matt calling from St. Louis, Missouri. Matthew, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
Chris, happy Lutover 6th in Bidentopia.
Thank you. Thank you very kindly.
I think I figured out when the Democrats will finally close the border and finish the wall.
When?
And that is... when they believe they've got enough illegal aliens in the country, when they think they've sufficiently destroyed and corrupted the Electoral College, the election system, the judiciary, all the institutions, and when they think they've secured permanent control, they're going to close the border and finish that wall East Berlin style to keep us all from escaping, you know, their tyranny and oppression and their confiscatory taxes. They're wrong speak gulags and just all the glories that they have planned for us in their fascist paradise. So, and I'm afraid they may think have turned that corner because suddenly Democrat politicians can talk about the crisis now and, you know, you see my Oak Ridge suddenly is ready to build the wall. So I'm afraid they think we've turned that corner and they're ready to lock us in.
They, you know, you are being mildly tongue in cheek, but you're not so far from wrong. And honestly, you know, like the communists of the Soviet Union and East Germany, walled in the people of East Germany, of East Berlin. They built a wall, and leftists love to compare building a wall on our southern border to the Berlin Wall because they're stupid and they're dishonest and corrupt and they're communists. Of course, building a wall on our border is the precise opposite, the antithesis of the Berlin Wall, which was designed to keep people from escaping, and that is the correct word. And what you're describing is the Democrats building a Berlin-style wall to keep us in, to keep us from escaping, because they are the left. These are not liberals. This is the left. And, you know, I appreciate your tongue-in-cheek approach to this, but you're not so far from wrong, and I know that you appreciate that, too. It's only kind of tongue-in-cheek.
This is the Chris Plant Show.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
Hey, what's going on in Redding, California? This is Tony Horde with Better Homes and Gardens Results Real Estate. Be sure and tune in to KCNR on your radio dial Wednesdays at 5 p.m. for Living in the North State. Together with my three amazing co-hosts, Rich Howe, Bill Woodford, and Mindy Cochran, we'll be interviewing professionals in the industry and taking your calls to answer all your questions and have a great time doing so. Talk to you then, Redding.
Hi, it's Mark from Haven Humane Society. Are you looking to add to your family? We have puppies, kittens, small critters, and farm animals. Each year we have thousands of amazing animals looking for homes come into our lives, and we hope to have them join yours. Follow us on social media and find our links on our website, havenhumane.org. Watch our weekly content on YouTube, like our Mark's Monday mashup, when we talk about what's going on and introduce you to our team and adoptable animals. Get involved. Volunteer. Thank you for all your continued support. Together, we are moving closer to our ultimate goal of a North State with no more homeless pets.
Hi, Bob the Drop here. The other day, I had a close encounter with my friends from Mars. I visited them a few years back, and they discovered the great taste of Mount Shasta spring water. Well, I guess they ran out, so they came back to Earth to get some more. I reminded them it comes from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta, and it's bottled at the source. I guess they just didn't get the part about us delivering right to your door. Have your own close encounter by calling 1-800-922-6227 to get some of the best-tasting water in the galaxy. Pure and simple, naturally, the best Mount Shasta spring water.
This is Carl Bott
and Ted Leidy.
We want to invite you to our new show, Man Up, the fourth Thursday of each month, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Man Up, 6 to 7 p.m., where we explore the lost art of being a man.
Spirits, cigars, and hit the ground running when you get up in the morning. That's what Man Up's going to be about.
Oh, don't forget motorcycles, guns, and hard work every day.
And those things that men talk about when women aren't around.
That's right. Even cooking sometimes.
People, places, and things.
Serving your family, your community, and your country.
Man Up. Fourth Thursday of each month from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on Free Fire Radio.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
Yeah, Hillary Clinton calling for the deprogramming of cult members. Formal deprogramming. Just like Chairman Mao's wife, Madam Mao, called for the deprogramming of Chinese that were not good communists. This is a word that the communists have used for generations now, deprogramming. As though you've been programmed, they're not the ones that have been programmed. You are, because you believe in the Bill of Rights and the Constitution and the greatest country in the world and freedom and liberty for the people of the world. And you want to stand up for what is right. And that means you need to be deprogrammed. And once you're deprogrammed, you'll be a communist just like these people. You'll be a zombie, a glassy-eyed loon parroting the party line no matter what. Hey, the Muslim ban, Russian interference, Trump, Russia, dossier, cold Ukraine. You gotta be, when she says deprogrammed, again, it's the opposite of the truth. You need to be programmed. You need formal programming. That's what Hillary Clinton is saying, because she's a radical leftist extremist who is now one of the most bitter women on earth. Only one of, but one of the most bitter women on earth, because you may remember she said she had the 2016 election stolen from her, that Donald Trump stole the election. She was the best candidate, and she really won, and we've got to get rid of the Electoral College, and we've got to pack the Supreme Court, and we've got to change the way we elect people with mail-out ballots to everybody, including illegal aliens and convicted criminals, and, you know, they're extremely corrupt people. Spectacularly corrupt people, and they have nothing to say about all the looting going on and all the murders and the shootings and the carjackings and they're moving illegal aliens into your daughter's bedroom, never mind the MS-13 tattoos and the teardrop face tattoos. You're a racist. Pony up your daughters. Hillary Clinton on having the 2016 election stolen by Donald John Trump, of course.
You can run the best campaign.
No, you can't.
You can even become the nominee.
Uh-huh.
And you can have the election stolen from you.
They all cheer. Yay! These zombies need deprogramming. They need to, these cultists need to be deprogrammed, these leftists. And you know what? You know what should Hillary should say when she gathers the small crowds that she still gets? After apologizing for everything that she did, she was our chief diplomat when we bombed 8 countries. The greatest number of countries, any president since World War II, Barack Obama, the mad bomber, and Nobel Peace Prize winner, of course. But Hillary Clinton was out there being crazy, and she's talking to Christiane Amanpour of CNN, and with her great friend Hillary Clinton, if you know what I mean. And boy, it was a love affair, a love fest. It was a tongue bath. It was everything that journalism should not be. It is the Democrat Party's merger with corporate media. And, of course, we know what the merger of state and corporate power means. We know what the merger of state and corporate power is, particularly with the information oligarchs and the bootlicks. And I used to know Christiane Amanpour when I worked at CNN. We spent months together in Saudi Arabia and encountered each other here and there in Bosnia and elsewhere. And Christiane Amanpour, who is now paid, I don't know, at PBS pays her, I think, and CNN pays her, somebody else pays her millions of dollars, because lefties, you know, the great lefty circle fest of other people's money is all about promoting the party, capital T, capital P, just like in communist China, the party, just like in Putin's Russia, the party, because the party must always come first. These are the real political extremists. You will know the political extremists because they will be the ones calling you political extremists. They will say that you need to be deprogrammed because you haven't been programmed. This is the left. They're not liberals. So Hillary Clinton calls for, quote, formal deprogramming, end quote, of MAGA, quote, cult members. And Christiane Amanpour of CNN sitting down with Hillary Diane Rodham Clinton, former Secretary of State and 2016 Democrat presidential nominee Hillary Clinton. The story at Radical Left Wing Mediaite says, calls for formal deprogramming of cult members, right, who support former President Donald Trump. I got an idea. Stop shooting people. Secure the border. Leave the children alone with your sexual LGBTQ stuff. So let's go to Hillary Diane Rodham Clinton and her close personal friend, colleague, and ally, Christiane Amanpour at CNN. Christiane, Madam Secretary, you're so fantastic. You're so spectacular. And it sounded kind of like this. She looked like she still had a little bit of dried vomit on her, on the longer jawline, didn't she? Peeled her face off of the linoleum floor in the kitchen of one of their many mansions, the Clintons. They're humble people, just like the Obamas. Gulfstream jets, 300-foot yachts. Pay no attention to any of this. What is it, a $50 million contract with Netflix to do something nobody knows what? Hillary Clinton.
There's clearly a common sense, sane part of the Republican caucus in the House.
Sowing division.
I think they are intimidated. They oftentimes, you know, say and do things which they know better than to say or do. And it will require us defeating those most extreme measures and the people who promote them in order to try to get to some common ground where people can, again, work together.
She has never wanted to work together with anyone. She has never sought common ground. Defeating those measures. Why would you, come on, you can't find common ground with extremists who are radicals who want to destroy democracy. They must be destroyed. And everybody knows that. And this is the rhetoric of the Democrat Party today. It was it has its roots in Germany about 70 years ago. But and we must defeat these measures, like securing the border, having lower taxes, letting parents raise their children instead of the state, not sexualizing children in first grade with LGBTQ curriculum, which we have in Los Angeles today. I've got a story for you. And that because they're sexualizing the children, but only LGBTQQIA+. And never, there's never any heterosexual sexualization. On my TV show on Newsmax, The Right Squad, Monday through Friday, 10 p.m. Eastern, we have a leftist who is on regularly, Jason Nichols. He's a college professor at the University of Maryland. And honestly, he said, I was talking about how the sexualization of children is always LGBTQ. And there was a Disney thing where they've got, you know, a transgender or something or other because Disney's lost its mind. And he said, well, sure, there's sexualization of children with heterosexuality. What about Snow White? What about, what's the one, you know, the I don't really do children's things, you know, the princess and Prince Charming, or, you know, the slipper and all. Cinderella. It's like, well, you know, those are teenage on the brink of being grown-ups. I am 16 going on 17. You know, that's not exactly first grade gay curriculum, but, you know, the Democrats just make stuff up. They say crazy things. Hillary Clinton, they're terrible and they must be defeated. They must exceed the extreme measures. You know who the extreme people are? The ones looting our CVS stores all over the country. And what else are they looting? The Target stores, the, how about Philadelphia? They got Louis Vuitton. They've looted Louis Vuitton so many times, it's called Louis Vuitton. Oh, they got Lululemon. They didn't get Louis Vuitton in Philadelphia. They got Lululemon. Companies have to change their names because Democrats are looting them so frequently now. And, you know, you got the stores being taken over by crazy, mentally ill, transgender people who twerk. The guy twerking on me night before last, yelling about how he got boop, fist, boop, by a guy who deliberately gave him AIDS, and a poor cashier from Africa behind the counter at the cash register is completely freaking out because she's in America, but she didn't realize the Democrats were in charge. So mental illness is the order of the day in every major city. You know, we really need to deprogram, she's right, the left, because they are ill. They are unwell. They are violent. They are criminals in huge numbers, just gigantic numbers. And the number of mentally ill people we've thrown out in the street to fend for themselves makes everything better, too. We need a system of mental institutions to involuntarily commit very large numbers of people in the United States right now. That is needed. Now, I was talking about that yesterday. My friend Seton Motley said, be careful about that because, you know, what the commies did in the Soviet Union and commies did in China, what the commies do everywhere, you stand up these mental institutions, and then they declare their political enemies, their political rivals, to be mentally ill. The Soviet Union did this on a very large scale. And then you commit your political enemies, just as Hillary Clinton, this is what Hillary Clinton's talking about here, with the deprogramming. They have to, oh no, you're unwell. You have to be deprogrammed. You have to be taken to a state-run institution where you'll be deprogrammed. And that becomes, you know, for political purposes, right? Because the left is the most sinister death cult in the history of humankind. They've murdered 100 million people in the last 100 years in the name of bringing about utopia. They have enslaved billions between China and the Soviet Union and beyond. You know, Pol Pot in Cambodia murdered several million, was bringing utopia to them. Fidel Castro in Cuba, who Barack Obama loved and loves, they enslaved people and created an island nation where attempting to flee was termed an escape. They compare our wall to secure our country to the Berlin Wall, which was to contain people in a prison called Eastern Europe, East Germany, and, you know, the Soviet Union. And if you tried to escape over the wall, they'd shoot you in the back and kill you because, you know, for people who have no awareness of the 20th century, I'm here to help. But here's Hillary Clinton. You need to be deprogrammed. We must defeat these measures and these extremists. This is the rhetoric of Chairman Mao and Madam Mao. This is the rhetoric of Pol Pot. This is the rhetoric of the Soviet Union. I know it's been erased from history because the left has secured information dominance in education, in particular higher education. Why do you think they call it higher education? Because they're all stoned. I went to my doctor's office yesterday. I mentioned this just like a minor, regular scheduled thing. Early morning before coming in, and walked into his building, and it reeks of pot. Well, the hallways are filled with pot smoke. And I said, hey, dude, I got a contact high in the hallway walking in. And I said, yeah, I know, every day, person across the hall, woman across the hall with kids, smoking dope every morning with her kids, because the Democrats are making everything better. They're making everything, and we need to be deprogrammed. Hillary Diane Rodham Clinton and her close personal friend at CNN, Christiane Amanpour.
We had very strong partisans in both parties in the past, and we had very bitter battles over all kinds of things.
Like the Civil War.
And climate change and the economy and taxes. But there wasn't this little tail of extremism waving, you know, wagging the dog of the Republican Party as it is today.
The little tail of extremism wagging the dog. You know, Wag the Dog, there was a movie in the 1990s about the Clinton administration ginning up fake wars, and it was about them. It was about the Clinton people ginning up fake wars to change the subject on the evening news. Interesting that she would use that turn of phrase. And, you know, we've had divisions in the past. Yeah, I remember when you guys became the Confederate States of America so you could keep your black slaves, your African slaves, because of your bullwhips and your plantations and your firing on Fort Sumter. Just a couple of minor historical footnotes, which, again, they've erased. They've erased the truth of the history of the Democrat Party. And the deprogramming, this rhetoric, if you've studied the Cold War or, you know, the latter half of the 20th century, you'll recognize this rhetoric for what it is, and that is the rhetoric really of genuine, authentic communist totalitarian regimes that would claim to be deprogramming their political rivals by incarcerating them, the Gulag Archipelago and so on in the Soviet Union and in China. It's the public scourging and they're commies. This is the rhetoric of serious commies. And here comes Hillary.
Sadly, so many of those extremists, those MAGA extremists, take their marching orders from Donald Trump. And when do they break with him?
Are these MAGA extremists looting and shooting people and rioting and burning police stations and overturning burning police cars and smashing out storefronts and stealing everything in sight, making stores, businesses, big and small, go broke? No, 100% Democrats, Hillary voters, Biden voters, Obama voters. So this is where the cult needs to be deprogrammed.
At some point, you know, maybe there needs to be a formal deprogramming of the cult members, but something needs to happen.
Madam Mao would be proud. She's smiling in her grave. This is extremely dangerous rhetoric. Not to borrow their lexicon. It's extreme, it's dangerous, and it's very cult-like. It's very culty. And they sacrifice babies by the tens of millions and harvest their organs. No big deal. They convert your boys into girls and your girls into boys. Very, very culty. They spread the word of LGBTQ from kindergarten forward because they've apparently got plans. They tell us we all need to learn to speak Spanish. And if you fly the American flag and respect the Bill of Rights, then you need deprogramming.
What difference at this point does it make?
You're listening to The Chris Plant Show.
Fellow Americans, your privacy could be at stake and your bank accounts may not be safe. Biden's digital dollar could give the government the ability to track your purchases. Some suggest it's total control thereafter. But there is a way out, and thousands of people just like you have made the decision to opt out. My friends at American Alternative Assets will teach you how to diversify your risk from a failing dollar and market with gold and silver IRAs. So please call 888, the number 4-GOLD-20. That's right, call now to 888-446-5320 to get your free guide and to answer any questions you may have about protecting your retirement savings. Say no to the Biden government's new digital dollar. Call 888, the number 4-GOLD-20. That's right, call now, 888-446-5320. Individual results may vary. There's no guarantee that past performance will be indicative of future results. Seek your own legal, tax, investment, and financial advice before opening an account.
To celebrate National PA Week, here's some reasons why 10.4 million patients trust their health to board-certified physician assistants every week. PAs can diagnose, manage chronic illnesses, prescribe medications, and assist in surgery. PAs also increase access to health care, and that's important because your health can't wait. Learn more at PAsDoThat.net, sponsored by the National Commission on Certification of Physician Assistants.
Bring smiles to all when shopping online with Dell Technologies Gift Guide. Whether it's for the artist, the entrepreneur, the student, or the streamer, you'll find the perfect gift for everyone on your list. Dell.com/giftguide makes gifting easy with a carefully curated selection of our best tech. Shop now to explore our innovative PCs like the XPS 13 laptop, powered by the latest Intel Core processors, plus this season's top accessories. Visit Dell.com/giftguide today to get a jump on your holiday gift list. That's Dell.com/giftguide.
Everybody has been dealing with the availability of homeowners insurance in Northern California. Companies not writing your home insurance anymore are leaving the state altogether. Siskiyou Insurance has hired a specialist specifically for dealing with a homeowners crisis here in Shasta County. He specializes in what the market is doing, coverages, and which companies may be able to help. Call Brian Dews at Siskiyou Insurance Services for your home or auto consultation. Siskiyou Insurance Services, 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345.
It's never too late to start at Shasta College. Late start classes and 8-week compressed classes are still available. To learn more about upskilling or reskilling for a current job or career, information is online at ShastaCollege.edu or call one of our counselors to see how easy it is to get enrolled at 530-242-7650. Shasta College offers in-person, hybrid, and online class options to fit your busy life and responsibilities. Financial aid is available. More at ShastaCollege.edu.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
Come join Reading Electric Utility in celebrating Public Power Week on Friday, October 6th. This year's free family event will be held in downtown Reading on the Market Street block. There will be electric safety demonstrations, police and fire demonstrations, and free treats. This event will include energy-efficient raffle prizes, including a new e-bike. Come join the celebration on Friday, October 6th from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. For more information, call 530-339-7300 or visit our Facebook page at Reading Electric Utility.
At Premier Oil Change, you can be assured that our highly trained staff will take great care of you and your vehicle. From your air pressure to your windshield wipers and everything in between, we make it easy for you with our quick, convenient drive-through service. No appointment necessary. You just drive right in. We also perform our comprehensive 30-point certified service. You get to enjoy a free beverage with free Wi-Fi and earn points towards free products and services with Premier Rewards. Use Premier Services to maintain your new car warranty. Now that is a win-win. Drive in today. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com or visit us in Palisadro, located in the Holiday Market Shopping Center, or in Reading on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park, or in Anderson across from Roundtable Pizza. All three locations, you get a free car wash with every oil change. Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier, your friendly oil change.
Tell you what, let's go to the telephones. Got a lot. We've got a lot coming. You got your, well, it's all Democrat Party madness, from violence and crime to gender abuse of little children and sexualization, the grooming of little children. They're not on the side of civilization. They are a cult, which is why they call you a cult. They need deprogramming, which is why they say you need deprogramming. These are the tactics and the techniques of the communists from the 20th century, and they're now Democrat Party tactics in the United States of America. Let's go to Mike, calling from South Riding, Virginia. Michael, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
Hi, Chris. Good morning.
Hey, Mike.
Biden is whining about, oh, we got to build 20 feet of wall or whatever it is. Because FY 2019 money is we have no choice. And I'm thinking, well, first of all, FY 2019 runs from 1 October to 2018 to 30 September 2019. And when Congress appropriates money, it's from fiscal year to fiscal year. So that money is gone. So I don't understand how they can use that as an excuse. Now, I could be wrong. Don't, you know, if I'm wrong, fine, correct me. But and Congress can't say, okay, well, you have to spend this money for a border wall for the next 10 years. I don't think Congress cannot bind future Congresses to things that that current Congress does. So I don't know how Biden is doing this. And the media, of course, since most of them work for the DNC, they're not going to ask any questions. And the few people who don't work for the DNC apparently have no concept of how the government funding works.
Well, and they don't care. That's key to the whole thing, is they don't care, and they know that the bootlicks and the media will carry whatever water is handed to them. You know, the new construction announced in June, they're claiming. That's a lie. But the funds were appropriated in 2019 before a Democratic president took office. And he said he wanted the Republicans to redirect it to crack and Russian hookers, but they wouldn't do that for him. And now they have no choice. They haven't used it for the last 2.5 years, but now it's urgent.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.